morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Almost Friday.
Yeah.
Thursday, guys. Couldn't be any closer to Friday if we tried.
My voice is really deep today because I'm a man.
That's right.
That's right. Panama.
Welcome. We're excited for today. Dude, Theology Thursday. It's going down. We're going to talk about such theological implications as Gaslight Anthem be Thursday.
That's right. Somebody wrote us on Facebook. They said,
"That's the one." Wow, that's actually.
You could
we got a.
You could throw that.
We got a football.
Peter B, man, bringing us a football.
Where did that come from?
Feels good, huh?
This is nice.
It was yo.
Really?
Look at this.
All right. Not bad.
That guy.
Thanks, Peter. Peter Benson.
Peter Benson, everybody.
We had a guy on Facebook say, "Guys, love the station, but Gaslight Anthem? I shut you off every time. Such horrible wannabe music. It's like a bad joke. You keep telling it, and it never gets better." And so I'm writing, "And we will continue to tell that joke." Because that's what we do.
That's how we do, guys. We run it into the ground. That was a Gaslight Anthem. Was that Zach from Citizens, or was that Cody from The Wedding that recommended that one?
Cody and Zach.
Yeah. Good friends with those guys. Zach is.
Yeah.
From Citizens
and Saints.
I feel
like this guy just doesn't like him.
Right.
He just doesn't like
him. That's okay.
Well, Mitch doesn't like him either.
I like everything. Really?
Yeah, when 45 used to come on, she'd be like,
"Love
Matt,
that band.
I hate this song." And I would say, "It loves you, Michelle."
Yep. There you go. Let's go to the phone lines. See what we got on the horizon.
Good morning, everyone. This is Matthew from Albuquerque.
Morning, Matthew.
Good to see you guys. Good to talk to you guys. What's up, everyone?
It's Thursday. Excited for the fact that it's almost Friday, which means the weekend's coming, which means
What, guys? I think that tomorrow's gonna be Friday. I think that deserves a I'm gonna try to interpret this one. Ding! Oh!
Oh, you got your own sound effects now, huh?
That was crazy.
Now that one, guys, that's pretty cool right there.
Yeah.
You like that one.
So, Matthew, we've decided since you are You obviously have a knack and want to lead and be in radio.
Yeah.
We're going to let you go. All right? So we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock. This is going to be your break. You can do whatever you want, and we won't interrupt you. The time begins now. Go.
All right, guys. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you guys are having a safe commute out there. Drive safely, and if you guys have any black eyes ahead of you on the roadways, don't speed. Back your vehicle speed down a little bit. You might be driving like a turtle, but let me tell you, it's going to save you a lot. Not only is it going to save you a trip to the hospital and probably getting hurt, it's going to save your vehicle from getting, damaged and you wrecking. Also, guys, good news. My website online has had some changes. There is a lot.
All right. That was 30 seconds. That was good. Good to talk to you, man. Have a great day. Have a great day.
That was it, huh?
That was 30 seconds.
We gave him 30 seconds?
We had 30 seconds on the clock, and he could do whatever he wanted.
I'm going to look at his website.
Yeah.
Matt.
Do we want to let him finish it out?
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Say your website.
The website, guys, it's Matt, MATTRT66.wix.com /
Matt from ABQ.
From ABQ.
So easy.
That's my new site. I used to have a site that Google before.
Yeah.
Steve-O remembers that one.
Yeah, he remembers
I was
it.
I would troll that website every day.
Every day. All right, Matthew.
Yeah, this one's more professional.
What song do you want to hear today?
You know what, guys? If you guys can do me a favor, I know you guys have some of these songs.
Do your favor every
good
day.
One. Do me a favor, guys. I want Steve-O, I want you to get six songs this morning, but I'm going to put this out to my best friend in DECA, Cassandra Madrid. Thanks, Cassandra, for being so helpful to me in the snack bar, especially, having my back while I was working the register. That's what means a lot to me. Thanks for being such a good best friend. I appreciate it.
That's good.
That's sweet, that's Matthew. Good.
All right.
Thanks guys.
Thanks,
talk to you tomorrow. Remember, as always, it's great to be a Hawk.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, there you go.
It's so great
good.
To be
so
at home.
Good. It I'm is. Thinking like old school Thrice. I don't know why.
Ooh, yeah.
Do like we have a song called ambulance? Broken Lung by Thrice
oh,
in there?
Oh, man. It's not in there. I have it.
That's what we should play.
Man.
But we don't have it.
We don't have it. Sorry.
That's dumb.
Figure we could go
That's
old
real
school.
Dumb.
We need to wake up. It's time to get up. Time to get going. It's Thursday. We got a lot going on today.
So much.
Theology Thursday. Of course, we'll have the Shroffs in talking to them.
Yes.
I got a bone to pick with those Shroffs.
Oh, no.
Because you and I...
Is it a chicken bone?
Yes.
It's a chicken bone, Doug!
We're going to be building a chicken coop for my bride.
That's
because
right.
We got chickens courtesy of the Shroffs who helped enact Chrissy's Law de Chicon.
And we're afraid of building it, so it's very meta.
Yeah, yeah.
Chickens. You get it. You will understand later in the day.
Oh, man. Coming up right around the corner, of course, breaking news and birthdays. If you'd like to get a birthday shout-out in studio at mystaticradio.com right now. Old school Thrice. This
old
one's
school.
Going out to Matthew from Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Steam Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Late night breaks, I hear the tires squeal. Red light can't stop, so I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel lift me up and I open.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Hola! ¿Cómo está? Ah, sí, ah, sí. ¿Cómo está? I'm asking you.
Oh, muy bien, ¿y tú?
Así, así.
Mmm. Es muy frío.
El gato es en la piscina.
Mmm.
Es muy fría. Biblioteca.
Yeah.
Biblioteca.
Yesterday,
yeah.
During Afternoons with Celeste,
yeah.
I tried to come in and do a character.
Oh, no.
And about halfway through, failed because I realized I didn't know Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing double shot pick-me-up, which we do every single day.
Yep.
And yesterday was Paramore versus the Civil Wars, and I tried to come in like a commentator, like a sports commentator, but I wanted to be Robert Rodriguez. Rob-rod.
Rob-rod. Yep.
I made it about 9 words in, then realized I don't know Spanish, so I started
I
trying to make
Spanish.
Stuff up. Yeah.
Didn't work
it
out.
It didn't work out the best. It was pretty terrible.
Well,
but I did predict that Paramore was going to stomp the Civil Wars.
And they did they not?
I think so.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Guys, today is January 22nd. It's 2015. The number of the day is 33 million. That's bananas shipped to the U.S. and A every year.
I wonder how many of those shipments include crazy
like spiders.
Venomous spiders.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably at least like 3 or 4 billion of them. It's pretty good.
Real life, guys.
Yeah. Let's get to the news, shall we?
Yeah.
It's Thursday. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA announced that it's investigating 20 schools for academic fraud. Whoa!
Oh.
I wonder which schools... Doug, hey, do you think you could get a list of the 22 schools that are... Or the 20 schools that are getting investigated for fraud? No? They won't release them? They're not telling anybody. Oh, Doug knows everything!
He does.
Oh, that's cool. Marvel Comics says that in May, the Marvel Universe will be destroyed.
Yes!
We talked about this a little bit during Comics Corner yesterday. You can podcast that. Go to mystaticradio.com/Team Awesome Morning Party or something. The Mornings, is that what?
Just Mornings.
Just look for it. Go to the website and look for it. You can do it. We talked about this yesterday. Next month, we'll bring a limited edition Red Velvet Oreo.
Oh, man.
The filling will be made to taste like cream cheese, and the wafer will be dyed red. That'll be good. Guess how many I get to have?
Zero. None. Next month, though.
None's
Your
of
diet's
them.
Only 5 weeks.
Yeah, but this is the first week.
Yeah.
And February is a short month.
I will save you a box.
No, I don't want them.
Okay, good. I won't.
It's all good. An 81-year-old Grand Rapids man has finally met the 61-year-old son he never knew he had.
Gosh.
We will talk about this later in the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, this is a crazy story.
Fascinating story.
7 o'clock hour, we will definitely highlight this one. That'll be one of tonight's top stories.
Top stories. Mystery, secrets, lies, family.
Yes.
Diamonds.
Mm.
I just read diamonds on the screen. That's a New York man bulldozed the house while his unsuspecting wife was out shopping. That's one way to do it.
Wow.
Get rid of that house. So she came home with a brand new vacuum cleaner and felt really stupid.
Yeah.
Because the house was gone.
Oh, man, that blows. Huh?
Nah.
Vacuum cleaner?
Ew.
Or does
I would
suck?
Say it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would say. A new study finds that chewing gum is effective at trapping all sorts of bacteria living in our mouths. Double your pleasure.
Double your fun.
Double bacteria for everyone. That should be the new slogan. Doug, how do you feel about that slogan?
It's a good slogan.
Pretty
yeah.
good?
Yeah.
A Galveston police officer proposed to his girlfriend after he got coworkers to pull over. Or wait, to pull her over on phony charges.
Wow.
Aww. He got his coworkers to pull her over, and then he proposed.
That's
proposed.
Sweet.
Yeah, they're going to get married as soon as the taser effects wear off.
Yeah.
That's fine. They have to make it realistic. They got those cameras now.
Don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me. Don't tase. No, it's. I promise you're going to love this. Scientists have discovered that chimps make different vocalizations to signal to their friends that they found some really good food.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, let's move on to other things. Like this. Twitter's fast pace and up-to-the-moment half-formed thoughts may be able to predict heart attacks, or at least rates of heart disease. According to a new study led by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, Twitter's data can be used to measure a place's psychological and physiological well-being, basically forecasting a community's heart health.
That's weird.
I have no idea how that works. The study found that communities featuring residents prone to angry tweets tinged with frustration and bitterness were more likely to suffer high rates of coronary heart disease, even after controlling for factors like income and education. In contrast, cities, towns, and neighborhoods where people tended to express happiness and elation via their tweets were also more likely to enjoy better heart health. Okay. That's pretty neato.
I feel like we got a positive place here in the ABQ.
I think so. Don't read Doug's tweets. That's for sure. That sweetheart, he's upset about everything, generally.
Yeah.
Doug, you're going to have a heart attack.
Award shows.
According to Twitter.
Gosh, yeah.
Twitter says you're going to have a heart attack.
The Ravens.
Because you're always, you've got frustratedly tinged tweets.
Yeah.
From your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. I don't want you to have a heart attack. Okay. What was the fastest growing social network in 2014? Speaking of Twitter.
What was it brand new to 2014?
I don't know.
Oh.
Think about it.
Instagram.
If you said Instagram or Snapchat, you're wrong.
Wow.
Because it's Pinterest.
Really?
Pinterest recorded the biggest percentage rise in active users of every major social network in 2014.
Crazy.
They gained 97% more active users year on year, narrowly beating Tumblr, which saw a 95% growth in active users. Instagram was 47%, LinkedIn, what? 38%, and YouTube was 13%. They rounded out the top five. Twitter added just 7% more active users in 2014, while Facebook fell by 9%.
Huh.
Hmm. Pinterest. Do you have a Pinterest?
I think Chrissy...
You've got one.
Created...
She's got... She made you one.
Mitch,
did she make you one?
One of them.
Yeah.
And I can't remember.
Interesting.
They're interchangeable.
Hey. What? Is this Cialis or Cialis? Cialis?
Oh, yeah. That's this the Cialis.
Cialis.
Hey, Cialis. We're old and we're not wearing clothes and we're in a bathtub.
Neato.
Those commercials.
Neato. That sounds like an exciting... Guys, if you're hoping to save some money on the pills that give you a boost in bed, be careful who you order from.
Really?
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration said counterfeit versions of the erectile dysfunction drug Cialis were found in the mail en route to a customer in the United States.
Ew.
And it is alerting consumers and doctors to be on the lookout for fakes. FDA laboratory analysis showed the counterfeit versions contain multiple active ingredients, which, if used, could result in adverse effects or harm. The real Cialis is sold by Eli Lilly and Company. So don't be going and buying fake Cialis. You will not get the effects that you so desire.
Mm.
Adverse effects, in fact. That's kind of scary. Ah, pills in the mail. Google is reportedly planning to launch a wireless network in the U.S., They wouldn't actually build its own network like AT&T and Verizon. Instead, they would piggyback on existing network infrastructures. Experts in the area of telecommunications say a Google phone company would push prices down. After all, if you get a phone that's tied to Google's network for less, you'll be more than happy to use Google's smartphone apps, which just happen to show ads. Is that what Droid does? Is that Google? Is it Google operating stuff? It is. Droid taking over the world. That's what they're trying to do. Okay. There is a show called My Strange Criminal Addiction.
Oh, great.
I guess it's based in the UK. I've never seen this show.
Never heard of it.
This is fun. A man in the UK named Robert Wells confesses his beauty secret. This is disgusting.
I don't want to know.
Drinking young people's tea tea. Okay. Wells is so into the mellow yellow stuff that he designed and constructed a urinal collection method in a theme park restroom, which eventually landed him in prison. Wells believes in urine therapy. This is a thing.
No, I know. I know.
Urophagia.
Yeah.
Drinking urine for body benefits. And he isn't the only one. The weird health trend is growing.
Yeah.
And attracting a loyal band of followers, particularly in the UK. Believers in urine therapy claim pee gives them everything from clearer skin to better health to shinier hair. Got a blemish? Simply soak a cotton pad in your own urine and apply it to the spot. Let's try it.
No, no,
come
no.
Come on, man.
This isn't a new thing to me.
Oh, so you've tried it.
No.
Steve-O?
There are UFC fighters.
Oh, gosh.
Who, during training.
Is this true, Doug?
This is true, man. I've heard this. I don't want to say their names on the... Okay, Lyoto Machida.
Oh, right.
He's a fighter.
Yeah.
This is real, man, for a long time, especially when training for a fight.
Okay.
Because he feels like you're losing all, like, nutrients and vitamins and all these things. So as they're exiting the body, he keeps them and refills them with them. That's real. That's real.
That to me is terrifying, but I want to try it.
No, you do not.
Let's do it, everybody.
This is a water world,
Let's
bro.
Do it.
Nope.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. I watch Bear Grylls. Oh. I know what's up.
Gosh.
I know you gotta live, man.
We live in an amazing... You live in an apartment. We're not in the jungle.
All this filtered water, it's just making us weak.
It's a concrete jungle.
It's making us weak. We gotta live, man. We gotta live with clearer skin and shinier hair.
No, dude.
From urine.
That's okay. I'm good. I'm good.
You don't want to try that with me?
You're in. I'm out.
You trying to tell me that you're yellow?
Hell...
I made a joke, too.
Yeah, those were real good.
Yellow. It was all yellow. See, every time you do it, you could just play Coldplay in the background.
Oh, gosh.
Death by deer collision is unfortunately quite common. Not necessarily out here in the Southwest, but back east, it's very common.
Yeah.
But this one in Maryland is downright bizarre, okay? Maryland State Police say a driver was killed when a deer struck by another car became airborne and crashed through her windshield.
Whoa!
Troopers say a woman was driving down a road when her vehicle hit a deer. The deer launched into the air and hit a car driven by 69-year-old... it doesn't give her name. By a 69-year-old woman. Authorities say the animal went through the windshield of that woman's car, striking her and killing her.
Crazy.
Very strange.
Crazy.
And it's interesting when you hit a deer. Have you ever hit a deer?
Mm-mm.
The one time I hit a deer in college, I was going like 20 miles an hour, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told the story on the air. I looked over and said, "That's a big dog. That's a deer." And when I hit the deer, it didn't even do a lot of damage to my car. It knocked the emblem off, knocked the Saturn emblem off. So it succeeded in making my car uglier without actually damaging it. So I was really upset. But when I hit the deer, it did like a front flip off my hood. It went airborne. So it's like you hit these things, and it's like a pinball machine. Deer just become this
like
bouncy.
It's so dramatic.
I'm serious.
Gosh.
You go, boom, and they're like, phew. sorry. And you're mad at the deer. You're mad. So this is a terrifying story. It sounds like something that would happen like on a Hangover movie.
Yeah.
You know? Like when that giraffe ran into the bridge.
Oh.
Lame. Men may run faster marathons than women. We'll have to talk to Sam Swan about this.
Yeah.
But women are, quote-unquote, better at running them. Specifically, women are 18.61% better than men at keeping a steady pace over the entire 26.2-mile course. Researchers looked at more than 1.8 million results from 131 marathons held across the globe between 2008 and 2014 and found that both genders slowed down between the first and second halves of the race, but that men slowed down between 16.9% and 27.2% more than women did.
See, and I disagree. I think men are much better at running. away from their problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, if you could personify...
Daily.
This is one thing.
You know?
If you had a man being chased by his wife,
yes,
or girlfriend, mm-hmm, I bet he would keep a steady pace.
Absolutely.
Because she would keep a steady pace, and he'd be like, oh my gosh, I gotta
right.
keep going.
You just
I gotta
keep going. You just gotta keep doing it.
Researchers think this could be due to differences in psychology and decision making. Perhaps women, for example, underestimate their abilities, or men overestimate their abilities. That's probably true. There's a woman who rescues dolls from thrift stores and beautifies them by repainting their faces and putting them in regular clothes. That's terrifying. If you had to guess where Tootsie Rolls came from, you probably would have guessed that they're a brand owned by a major candy maker like Hershey or Nestle. I probably would have guessed like Nestle,
yeah,
or something like that. Well, Tootsie Roll Industries is a publicly traded company based in Chicago that also makes Junior Mints, Dots, Andes, and Blow Pops.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Tuesday, the 95-year-old CEO of Tootsie Roll Industries, Melvin Gordon, died after what was described as a brief illness. He had been in that job for more than 50 years, and he and his wife together own 49% of the company. His 82-year-old wife, Ellen Gordon, will take over. Investors speculate that Miss Gordon will sell the company.
Huh.
Hmm. And finally... Oh, that's disgusting. A guy knew... I'm not reading the gross one. There's a gross story. Sometimes they put stories in here and it's like, why would you want to tell anybody that? A guy in England, he's a bachelor. He's trying to raise $2,000 through a crowdfunding site called Indiegogo to help him find true love. Bearded bartender Tom Packer. Tom Packer from... Oh, no, that's Todd Packer. He wants to get the money to pay for the 13 dates he believes it will take him to find the girl of his dreams. Packer, who describes himself as a hopeless romantic, once took to the streets of London with mistletoe strapped to his head. That didn't work. Why? And now the 26-year-old hopes his latest idea will improve his love life. Tom is offering signed photos of his face for $10, $750 for a date and a poem, or you can pledge $1,500 for the pleasure of going to Paris with him.
What?
This can be done, friends. All you gotta do is pay for your date, and then you get Tom all to yourself.
So weird,
it's pretty
man.
Cool. I think it's great. Let's take a look at traffic.
All right.
Okay, so over in the mountains, the eastern mountains... Got to be careful. There's snow and icy conditions. I-40 between Highway 333, that's exit 170, and Bernalillo, Santa Fe County line. Be really, really careful if you're coming in from that way because very, very, very snowy and icy.
Yeah.
But here in the metro area, it's not bad at all. So I guess if you're coming from the outside, just be really careful.
Okay.
Also, we got road construction, long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. As well as the right lane is closed due to construction, Highway 47, Broadway Boulevard, southeast at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue. And road construction, the left lane is closed, Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. That's your look at traffic. Now let's go to birthdays with Doug.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
How are you guys doing?
Nothing.
We can't complain.
Good. Yeah. Glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah? Are you?
No, either way, it really wouldn't make a difference.
Fine.
I'll be honest.
That's okay.
I'll be honest, guys.
Good.
Thanks for your honesty.
Just trying to come off as being nice on the radio.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah.
a character we all play.
Yeah.
I like that.
Today, January 22nd, 2015, day 22 of the year, there are 343 days remaining. First up this morning, an American actress... Best known for her role as the possessed child
Linda
in The
Blair.
Exorcist.
Yeah, Linda Blair.
Yes.
50.
How'd you know that so fast?
Because it's Linda Blair.
Is it your favorite movie?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Knew it.
I'm just kidding. No. Oh, gosh, no. You know, she was in Scream. She played a reporter in Scream. She was
I did not know
scene.
That.
I did.
Okay, well then, how old is she?
I say 50.
I say she is 48.
She is 56 years old.
Wow.
Yes.
Man, that just spins my head around. There's an Exorcist joke. Anybody?
Yeah.
Thanks, Doug.
But to be honest, you had to explain it to me.
Have you
I got
ever
it.
Seen The Exorcist?
bits and pieces of
Did
it.
Did you hear my joke?
I missed it.
I said that spins my head around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's in the movie.
It's in there. Yeah. Don't watch it.
No, yeah.
Bryan Cranston.
Nope. He played Francis.
Was that the little one?
No, the oldest one.
I don't know.
The oldest brother, he got, like, sent away.
I've never seen that show.
I can't remember it.
Yeah. The oldest brother went to military school.
His older brother actually played Hyde on that 70s show.
Oh!
What is that guy's name? Danny something?
Masterson.
Masterson, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's whose birthday it is?
No, that's who played Hyde. This is his younger brother.
Oh, the little
Francis
one.
On Malcolm in the Middle.
I can't remember.
It is Christopher Kennedy Masterson.
Okay.
He is actually married to the girl who just came in the last season of The Walking Dead.
Really?
Who was with the governor and all them, and then her sister got killed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. This guy, then, I say he's 34.
32.
35 years old.
Ah!
You were right there.
I was right there.
Yeah. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Nope. Carlton. Not the Fresh Prince.
Carlton.
Nope.
Don't DJ Jazzy it. Jeff.
Yes.
Nice.
My life got flipped, turned upside down. Like to take a minute.
We need to get out of here before we all sing this for the rest of the day.
This is true. This is true. DJ Jazzy Jeff is 48.
He is. That's a good guy. I say he's 53.
I hope somewhere right now he's just getting thrown out of the house. He is 50 years old today.
Dang it, I almost said 50.
You should have.
And the final birthday this morning.
That's all?
Yeah.
Doug! Oh, man. Is it Steve Perry's birthday?
It is Steve
yes!
Perry.
Yes! Okay. Yes!
We did a disservice to Dave Grohl on his birthday and didn't play enough Foo Fighters. We have to play enough Journey today.
Yes! And Steve Perry.
Oh, man. This song will forever remind me of Colin Rigsby.
That's right.
Who did this for karaoke. And it was so good.
I dedicate this to all my friends out there. All my friends on Stickam. On my Stickam friends list. Like a bro and sis in Christ. Dedicated to y'all. Hope you like this.
Send it all my love across the wire.
Oh, man. Steve Perry.
Say that the road is no place to start a family.
I say he's 56.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way you need it, any way you want it.
What'd you say, 56?
Yeah.
62.
He is 66 years old.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yep.
Man, if he came back to Journey, it would be awesome. I would go see that show.
Yep.
On two dates, on this day in what year, KTLA, the first commercial television station west of the Mississippi River, began operation in Hollywood, California.
Ooh, okay. First station west of the Mississippi began operation. 1911. A little bit too rugged.
1899.
1947.
Oh. We were a little off.
Just a touch off.
On this day in what year, the Supreme Court of the United States delivered its decision in Roe versus Wade, striking down state
man.
Laws.
Is it 1975? 1969. 1973.
On this day in what year, the Apple Macintosh, the first consumer computer to popularize the computer mouse, was introduced during the Super Bowl 18.
Oh. Start at 50. And then
31 years ago.
1983.
1982.
1984.
What?
I hate
everything. Not me. I'm all... Oh my gosh. I did math. I'm obviously no mathematician.
The Super Bowls have been throwing you off.
They have, dude.
I ain't did math like 14 months.
Was there a year where there was a strike and there was no Super Bowl or something?
I don't know.
I just keep getting thrown off by 1 year every time I do Super Bowl math, and it makes me mad.
Super Bowl math.
On this day in what year, Kmart became the largest retailer in American history to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
Oh, you know what it is? It's 2015, not 2014.
Yeah. We're in a new year, friend.
New year.
Say that again, Doug.
On this day of what year, Kmart became the largest retailer in American history to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Kmart.
2000.
2003.
2002.
Oh, man. We are right there.
On this day in what year, Kobe Bryant scored 81 points in a Lakers 122-104 win over the Toronto Raptors.
Whoa. 2010?
2009.
2006. On this day in what year, actor Heath Ledger died at the age of 28.
Oh, man. 2011. Nope.
No, that was like
Dark
Knight.
No, I'm thinking of Dark Knight Rises.
2007.
2000 and... Yeah, I think you're right, because that came out in 2008. Right? Didn't it come out in 2008? I'm going to say 2008.
2008 is correct.
Okay.
It came out, yeah, because he died, and then the movie came out that summer.
Sorry, guys, I was thinking of Rises.
Yeah.
I had a buddy that called the Dark Knight Rises. He would just call it Rises.
Ugh.
It was James... In the stock room.
Gosh, James.
He would go, yeah, I'm going to go see Rises this weekend. And I was like,
did you just call the movie Rises? Like, a brief, like, you know, Rises? Slate Night with Conan O'Brien.
Funny.
On this same one year, after a big controversy over the Tonight Show time slot, Conan O'Brien's last Tonight Show episode aired.
Boo. Oh, was that 2012 or 2011? I'm going to say 2011.
2010.
2010 is correct.
Gosh.
Two. Two of them.
And the number one song for today.
Oh, dude.
Doug, I got to be honest. I hope you have a Steve Perry song lined up after this.
Yes.
No, because we can't leave this song.
I hope it's O'Sherry.
No.
Dang it. Maybe it should be. Let's all dance, everybody. Dance in your car. If you're out there.
Oh, yeah.
Just feel the rhythm. Feel the groove.
Anytime I hear any great song like this now, I just think of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I heard Escape in the car last night, and that's all I could think about.
Gosh. So good, man. It's got to be one of the greatest movies ever, ever made.
It's really good.
Oh, it's so good!
I don't want to guess.
I don't either. I just want to listen to this. Baby, come back! Any kind of fool could see I was something. Never think about you. Baby, come back! 19. Oops, my bad. And I just can't live without you. 1969.
1977.
1978. Today is Answer Your Cat's Questions Day.
So close.
It's Women's Healthy Weight Day.
Did
Hot
you
Sauce
say
Day.
Answer Your Cat's Questions
yes.
Day?
Beans? Blonde Brownie Day and Southern Food Day.
Ooh! Southern food! Does that mean Fried Okra Day?
That means none for me.
Oh, man. We should go get some... Oh, right. That means none for you. Never
it's okay,
mind.
Though. I'm eating really
up.
Good food. Really good food.
I thought of cornbread. I thought of collard greens. I thought of fried okra.
I have...
That all sounds fantastic.
So much good food for me in the refrigerator right now.
We got a great show today.
We do. It's Thursday. We have Theology Thursday coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. That's going to be fun. We've already gotten a few questions in over email.
Dude, 8 o'clock hour, of course, we'll bring in the Aspen Project / Project Zoe. Talk about what they're doing, and I got a bone to pick, a chicken bone.
That's right. Also, we've got a story about a man who didn't find out that he had a son for 61 years.
Wow!
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, man. Well, that story, the way it unfolds is amazing. Talk about that right around the corner. I'm Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at 'em.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Hey, yo, what's up?
It's me, Traffic Robot Mateo. I'm a robot. I'm here to tell y'all about traffics.
There's not a lot going on, really. Except if you're coming in from the mountains, snow and icy roads. Okay, so I need you to be careful. But here in the metro area, the roads weren't that bad. Outside on the sidewalks and stuff, you need to be careful walking around. I know a lot of us have problems just walking around. We're a little uncoordinated, and ice just makes that worse. So pay attention to what you're doing. It'll only help you. Long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. Also, the right lane's closed due to construction. Highway 47, Broadway Boulevard Southeast at Dr. Martin Luther King Drive Avenue, Jr., not Drive Avenue. Road construction, left lane closed, Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. And it looks like that's all that's going on. Again, there is some ice and snow on some roads, so just pay attention to what you're doing. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Dude, we have a crazy, crazy story. You want to share this one?
You go for it.
Okay. An 81-year-old man made the discovery of a lifetime.
Yeah.
He's a Grand Rapids, Michigan man. And his whole life, he felt like something was missing. He said he tried and tried and tried having kids all his life, but he thought it was a life goal that he had never accomplished. Well, his wife passed away recently. He was cleaning out one of her old filing cabinets when he came across a letter. That letter dates back to November 14th, 1953.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. A letter that his wife hid
3 years before my parents were born.
Gosh. This letter was sent more than 50 years ago to this man, Tony Trimpani. And it was like, hey.
Have I told you lately that I love you?
Friend.
What's up, dog?
Have I told you? I have a son.
What?
Should we reenact this? Or is this too much?
No, no.
You be the girl and I'll be the guy.
No.
All right. Here. Doug, you ready? We're gonna reenact this, Doug.
The letter sent back in 1959 says, quote, I have a little boy. He is 5 years old now. What I'm trying to say, Tony, is he is your son!
I am Tony.
He was born November 14th, 1953.
Oh, man.
This letter was sent to Tony, and apparently his wife intercepted the letter in the mail and hid it from him. He is now 81 years old and has reached out to talk to his now 61-year-old son for the first time ever.
Wow.
How crazy is this story?
Okay, so this is what we're talking about. How old's the guy now?
81.
81-year-old man. His wife passed away. When did she pass
recently,
away?
This year.
Recently.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's cleaning out old filing cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, a filing cabinet is what we had before email.
There you go.
So
you could store stuff.
Yeah, you would put like letters and sheets of paper in these file cabinets, and you would shut them, and they would just and you could lock them if you wanted to. It was incredible. For more information on file cabinets, just Google it. So anyway, this guy's cleaning out old file cabinets, and he comes across this letter.
Yeah,
but it's not from his wife.
Yeah.
It's from some other lady that he knew
back in the 50s. Actually, the end of the 40s.
End of the 40s?
Because this was post-dated 1953 and the kid was 5, so this was the 40s when he was involved.
Okay, so this is from the 40s.
Gosh.
And then he's like, wait a second. And then he finds out he has a son. This is 61 years after the fact.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Letter sent by the child's mother more than 50 years ago told him of his 5-year-old son. The message was hidden by his wife for decades. She passed away, cleaned out the file cabinet, came across a letter. Him and his now son met for the first time this last Sunday. And he said he feels like a new dad at 81 years old.
Wow.
Cool thing is the son, Samuel, met his father for the first time. He said he spent his entire life wondering who his dad was. He said, I always asked my mom, what does he look like? And she said, well, go look in the mirror.
Aww.
Yeah. The mother had told the son that she had sent the letter, but figured the father was ignoring him because he was, in fact, married at this time. And so Tony, the dad, claims that at the time the wife intercepted the letter and hid it in the filing cabinet for these decades, he didn't know, but he reckons it was because the couple couldn't conceive a child on their own. Maybe she had fears, doubts, worries. He said, why my wife didn't tell me, I don't know. She wanted children so badly, but she couldn't have any, even though we tried and tried. He said, quote, he's my full son that I've had my whole life. Why my wife hid that letter is beyond me. Growing up, the kid said it was his understanding that his father got the letter but didn't want anything to do with him. So he grew up in Pennsylvania. And he said meeting his dad was just a distant thought. Quote, just to know him now is so important to me. It's going to fill that void. They're now catching up on a lifetime of memories.
Wow.
Making the most of the time they have left. Did I mention the dad's 81 years old? Yeah.
That blows my mind.
One of the best parts about the story is they say they know that they can't go back in time or dwell on the secret that kept them apart for so long. They just want to enjoy what they have left to give each other.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, man. No bitterness, no anger, no resentment. It's like, you know what? That's a crazy, gnarly story, but we're not going to dwell on the past. We're just going to focus on the fact that here and now we have each other.
Yep.
And let's make the best of this. That's a good one. 505-338-3700. The phone number. Static.
I love you guys.
Yay!
I love you guys so much.
Love you too, bro. Love you,
man, too. That was a beautiful story. That was
Dude,
so good.
Okay, 81 years old, you find this letter from your now-deceased wife that you spent a lifetime loving, and she
right.
hid something pretty incredibly big from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That's
huge.
I don't even know, dude.
This guy sounds pretty amazing because the forgiveness in him and the fact that he's like, you know what? I'm not going to dwell on that. We can't go backwards. I'm just going to focus on the fact that I found my son and enjoy these years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Incredible forgiveness.
Yeah.
Incredible forgiveness, but also excitement. Like, I don't know. Y'all are dads.
Yeah.
All y'all are dads. Oh,
yeah.
Shoot.
Sort of.
It's like, yeah, you missed a lot of time, but you just want to make the best of what you got now because that's your kiddo.
Yeah, dude.
Man.
Oh, that like plucks a heartstring, man. That's
I know.
Super good.
It's good, man. You know what that is? That's big right there. Well, I was gonna say the part. You just gave the perfect 5-year-old Sunday school answer and ruined my power of love.
It's the Lord's. What is that? What is that? Okay, I never said those things. What is it?
Power of love, man.
Power of love.
Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah, dude. Play the song.
Oh, it's playing.
Gosh.
Okay, good. Because I was pumped initially when he started the story and Rod Stewart was in the background. That's the thing that made me call in. I was like, oh, just listen to him. And then he played Rod Stewart, and I was like, yeah.
That's how we do, man.
Willie, how's Colorado?
How's Colorado? It's white. It's the whitest place I've ever seen in my life. Just because in the 6 hours that I just yesterday, the first 6 hours, we got like a foot of snow.
Gosh.
It's ridiculous. And I got embarrassed pretty hard, I'm not gonna lie.
Rio Rancho and the East Mountains got snow and they closed down their schools, and then APS and everybody else was like, oh.
Because
it's so dry and clear over here.
Yeah.
And I'm sad.
But APS and UNM are shut down?
Nope. No.
Not a
but
bit.
But
oh,
Rio Rancho
Lord.
And East Mountain schools are. So, you know.
Oh, my God.
Why did you get embarrassed? You said you got embarrassed. Why'd you get embarrassed?
Oh, I got embarrassed. Okay. So here's Ryan Woolley from Texas via Albuquerque to Colorado. I saw yesterday morning, I'm just going to wake up. Oh, there's a light snow outside. Okay, I look. Well, the streets are black and nice, like they should be. Like there's nothing on them. I thought, okay, well, I'll go get some groceries. So, you know, being from the South, I'm one of those who's just about to slip on some jeans and some flip flops, right? At the grocery store outfit is what that is, like
right.
Walmart. Who am I trying to impress, right? So I get in the vehicle. And I go to the local grocery store, and I'm like in there for, I don't know, like, look, there's this cereal or that cereal. And, you know, it took me like an hour. I walk outside, and there's slush everywhere, and there's snow, because it's real hard, and it's white. And I thought, oh, okay, it's really cold. I'm just going to try to get home. So I put everything in the back of my car, and I start driving out of the parking lot. And I get to a point where I can't move out of the parking lot because it's so thick. It's like,
wow.
It's above what my flip flop plus my foot is.
Now you're just bragging.
And then there's a wheel.
Now you're just bragging. You're just being
No. Here's the thing. I would be bragging if I wasn't humbled super hard.
Okay. So,
would be bragging if I didn't look like an idiot. So so I'm in the parking lot, and I get to this point in the corner where I'm trying to turn, and my vehicle is just sliding, and then eventually stops in this pile of snow, and I'm like, okay, this is bad. And so I like try to go forward, I try to go backwards, and I'm just slipping and not moving at all.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know the thing that I need to do. I don't know my next deal. Like, I need to go home, but I don't know. I don't know how to do that anymore.
Right.
So, so I'm about to call AAA, and thinking like, or other programs that help you in that situation through the vehicle. I forget that y'all golly. So as I'm sitting there with them on the phone, you know, their wonderful like wait line, I see this like essentially like a 12 or 14-year-old kind of walk out of the corner. He's all bundled up. He did not think that he was gonna go to the grocery store. He was wearing a jacket and he had like 6 layers of pants and these really thick boots. Like, I've never seen boots that just like you think, oh wow, you're a Megatron or something. Like, those are boots for snow. And he comes out and he like, I see him coming, so I kind of crack open the door, and he's like, you look stuck.
And, and you were very stuck.
Okay, 14-year-old, thank you. Yes.
That's awesome. The case.
And he's like, you have 4-wheel drive? And I go, I know I do. And he's like, is it in it? And I thought it was. I'm not one of those manual readers. I feel like
those
people, that's not me. And he was like, it's that's your shift going from drive into 4-wheel drive, but you didn't actually turn on your, that you see that other stick over there? You got to pull that down.
Okay, Wooly, we can't go into all the instructions of turning on 4-wheel drive in your vehicle.
Oh,
I'm sorry. You know, that was the last one. He was just like, you have to pull that down. And
oh,
I was like, that was my next step.
I understand why it was a bit humbling. I get that.
Slightly.
Humbling. But everything else is going pretty good?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I went to church last night. I've been trying to find a church on the interwebs, and none of them had a Wednesday night service except for one. And it's an old Albuquerque friend, Gino's. Serapio or something like that.
Gino Geraci.
Yes.
Gino Geraci is awesome.
A mile away from me.
Are you kidding? Get over to that church. That's cool, man.
I did. I went last night to a beautiful Wednesday night service.
Get plugged in. Amazing. That makes me
happy. He's a nice dude. Nice dude. And I got to meet him and some nice folks. And it was a good Wednesday night service. I really enjoyed it.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Willie.
Hey, I'm sorry for taking up so much time, but I didn't want to call y'all and let you know I love you guys. And
love you too, man. Thank you for everything.
Hey, y'all have a good day, all right?
You too.
All right. There it is.
Stay warm. Adios.
Bye, buddy. Adios, man. Ryan Woolley.
Oh, man.
Guy's amazing. Just moved from Albuquerque to Colorado.
We miss him.
Making his way out there. Rocking it hardcore at UNM for a long time as a professor.
Yes, gosh. Now congratulations to Woolley.
And now he's like in seminary, and he's like, now the master became the student again. pray for that guy. That's great. Getting plugged in at a church up there in Colorado. Gino Dracy's a man. That's cool.
Yep.
Talking about an 81-year-old man who made the discovery of a lifetime inside a hidden letter. His wife passed away. He was clearing out some of her old stuff. Found an old filing cabinet. He came across a letter. A letter that was dated November 14th, 1953. In it, a woman that he knew, like, biblically.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the 40s. Sent him a letter saying, "Hey, I have a little boy. He's 5. I'm trying to tell you something, Tony. This is your boy, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's our kid." He never knew he had a son, and him and his wife were never able to have children. So at 81 years old, he discovered he's a new dad. We found the story. It's an incredible story. You've got to read it.
It's inspiring.
Yeah.
The inspiring part being about how they're just like, you know what? We've been apart for so long. Leave it in the past. Yeah. Don't live in regret. Yeah. We start today. We start right now, and we live it out.
Yeah,
you know, and get
today
to know each other. Yeah,
it's incredible.
That's pretty
awesome. It's profound. We posted the story at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you'd like to check it out, there's even a video from the local news station.
Yeah,
interviewing them. That's pretty touching. So make sure you check that out, or give us a call 505-338-3700. Static.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Dude, it is crazy out here in Cruces.
Is it? What's happening?
Snowing like crazy.
Man, are you serious?
I got about 8 inches on my balcony.
Are you?
Really?
How is that possible? You guys are like closer to the sun.
No, it is nothing. And my boss still wants us to go clean pools.
Man, you got a good boss.
Welcome. Welcome to
the world. That's crap, man. I don't want to be driving on this crap.
Hey, man, you got a job. You should be stoked. You're like doing great things. It's like, hey, I got me a job.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you're sitting in an office chilling.
And you're literally chilling outdoors.
Yeah, no, I'm still home, man. I told him I wasn't going in. I think I might. My wife is a little sketchy to drive, and if she's sketchy to drive, I think I'm going to be driving her. You know what I mean?
I like that.
I got you.
That's nice.
You
so I'm going to take care of her, and hopefully she works in an office too, but hopefully, you know, because they're talking about not working today because she works in a doctor's office, so
yeah.
It's going to be super slow.
I can't believe it's snowing in Las Cruces.
It's not even, we don't have anything here. Albuquerque is a desolate wasteland.
It is pretty bad. I think it's the most it's snowed out here since I've been out here in 7 years.
Wow. Thanks, man. So. Thanks. All you guys bragging. Getting snow.
I love it, but as long as I'm home and chilling.
Yeah.
And not driving around, going to house to house, and people are sitting in their house and having coffee, watching the morning news while we're out there cleaning the darn pool.
I love you, pool boy.
This is crazy, man.
Amazing.
Have a good day, pool boy.
All right, man. I love you guys.
Love you too, bro.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Later. Pool boy and Cruces.
Man, I love it when he calls me. It's just like reality.
Static.
Dude, it's Pat and Cruces.
Hey!
Another Cruces.
Crazy.
Okay.
So we've got another confirmed report of snow.
Confirmed report of snow on
this. If I see pool boy, I'll make sure he doesn't fall in a pool.
Yeah. Slip right on in there.
Yeah. So the weather's frightful?
This is crazy. My wife went to school. She's slipping and sliding all over the road.
Crazy.
They haven't delayed the schools, which is crazy.
Which is hilarious because Rio Rancho and East Mountain schools are closed in their respective areas because of snow. But Albuquerque is dry.
Yep.
Oh, man. That is just wild.
Of course, it is iced over, so be careful out there still in the Albuquerque.
I'm heading out. I guess I'm going to take the son to school. We'll see what happens, guys.
All right, Pat, be safe, man.
Take care. Love you guys.
Love you too, bro. Couple shout-outs from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Thanks to everybody listening down there.
Yeah.
In Las Cruces.
Love you guys.
Be safe, apparently.
Watch out for that snow and that ice.
Static.
Hey, good morning, dudes. Oh, my God. Can you believe this weather, man? It's awesome.
Where are you?
Albuquerque.
No. What are you talking about? It's dry and clear.
Dude, you are crazy. Look out the window, dude. It is crazy insane right now.
No, it is not. What area
know,
of
I'm
the
just
city?
Kidding.
Oh, man.
You gotta admit, dude. I miss summer, bro. I need some sunshine. I wish we had a beach.
Oh, man.
This winter's got to go already.
There hasn't been enough winter. It has not come. It's
going to keep on happening.
It's got to keep happening. I really want to see this.
You guys are the best, dude. You guys are awesome. Just wanted you to know that. All right, guys, have a good day.
You too, man. 505-338-379. My favorite part is we're talking about this like crazy, mind-blowing story of this 81-year-old man, and everybody just wants to talk about the weather.
The weather! Oh, my gosh! Yeah, the 80, whatever. Weather!
81-year-old man. He's had a son for 61 years and didn't know it. God. Craziest story in the world.
Here's,
what has happened?
Here's the question. Okay. The question is, do you think you'd be able to handle it the way these two guys have handled it?
So
I mean, think
cool.
about that. You pick up, it's not just any run-of-the-mill secret.
No.
You
no.
know, it's like, oh, I've had a kid this whole time. Why did she hide that from me? What?
Right.
You know, there's probably pain there. She probably didn't want him to find out because she was infertile and she was probably afraid that he would leave her and go take care of this kid.
You know what this is a case of?
What is this?
Love covering a multitude of sin.
Oh, man, the wrong one! Yeah, you gotta, you want it.
I wanted the Jesus juke
Wait,
music.
If you would have let it play just a minute.
But it was supposed to hit when
Love
I said it.
Love covering over a multitude of sin. Now. There it is. That's when you do it.
I hit the wrong one.
It's okay.
Stupid CSI.
Which one's the right one?
I can't find it.
That's our Jesus juke music.
That's the Jesus juke.
Hey, we got a call. Let's take it.
Static.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in again because I love calling in so much.
You love your voice.
No, but, dude, I had to say, in all honesty, for that guy, with that 80-year-old guy that didn't know he had a son, like, just think of how much money he saved all those years because he didn't have a kid.
My.
He has to spend it.
Wow.
No!
Dude,
because now his retirement fund and his 401k, everything has to go to the kid now.
They can go to Disney World every day.
Oh. Are you right?
They can't ride any of the rides because they're 61 and 81 years old.
A little bit. But they can both go to, like, Hardee's at 6 o'clock in the
morning.
That's
true.
Or Carl's Jr., I guess, for out here.
Yeah.
Dude, well, at least now he's got a buddy that'll help him out when he gets even older and can't get out of bed, dude, right?
That's true. There you go.
Like, love me, I'll love you.
Gosh.
All right, dude, have a good day.
Think of all the money he saved. That was like a horrible Geico commercial.
Think of all the money you saved not knowing about your kid for 61 years, Doug. Pretty great. Now
it's
you know.
It's always good to get into the hearts and minds of the listener.
So think about the son too, though. He was under the impression for 61 years that his dad didn't care about him.
Gosh. You know, to flip it, not to Jesus juke it, but in all honesty, how many of us go through life believing that God isn't there, or that God doesn't love us, that our father just kind of doesn't care, that he's kind of like, maybe we did something when we were younger, or we've gone through a situation and we believe that it's like totally unredeemable, like I can't do this, and figured that God has just tossed us to the wayside, when in fact it couldn't be further from the truth, that
it's
there's
true.
This father there, and he's just waiting and loves you. And yeah, it's incredible. It's an incredible story.
It is incredible.
81-year-old man discovers he has a 61-year-old son, and rather than be upset and bitter that his wife hid this letter from him for so many years, they just said, "Man, we can't go back in time or dwell on the secret that kept us apart for so long. We just want to enjoy this
guy, keep going.
Catch up on a lifetime of memories and make the most out of the time we have left." It's so inspiring.
That is inspiring.
505-338-3700. Phone lines are still blowing up. Static.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey.
How goes it?
It goes. I want to talk about the roads.
Okay.
Wait, pause.
Yeah, okay. He's from Michigan.
Yeah.
Bill, I thought you were going to come in and give me, like, how it feels to be an 81-year-old man or something like that.
Yeah.
But apparently we're just going to talk about roads.
Yeah.
Not talking to you. But, Steve-O,
yeah.
You guys are wimps here.
Yeah, of course we are.
Seriously. Yeah. When I was a kid, my dad took me out in snowstorms to teach me how to drive. I did the same thing with my boys. The roads are completely dry in town.
Yeah.
This two-hour delay jacked everything up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For everybody.
Yep.
And it's like, well,
you know what they say.
Nice. I need to be nice because this is just kind of sad.
Bill, they say if you go out and just yell at the sky that it fixes things.
What happens inevitably is the guy who has the authority to call a delay walks outside of his house and goes,
I don't want to go to work.
To our delay. And then everybody else deals with the repercussions of the fact that the guy who can afford the nice house, like in the East Mountains, is snowed in. But he doesn't realize because he's so disconnected from culture and society, right? that everything else is just dry and clear.
Maybe someone will send him a letter informing him that there's the rest of the city. He's not going to get it for 61 years.
61 years later, he'll understand, but man, there you go.
Hey, this 81-year-old guy, you said he was from Michigan?
Yeah, he's from Grand Rapids.
Yep.
Oh, well, okay.
There you go.
So that's what we do there. I have other children all over.
You do?
That I don't know anything about.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe you'll get
Bill,
some letters, man.
It's all starting to make sense now.
Take all the money I'm saving.
Speaking of real children and saving money, are you guys still planning on snowboarding this weekend? Because the weather seems amazing for it.
Yeah.
It's Adam and Matt went to Santa Fe today,
and then
we're going to Sipapua on Saturday. So
nicely done.
If you still want to go.
I have Little League practice. I can't.
Bill, we got to build a chicken coop, man.
Yeah.
You're too old for Little League.
Chicken coop. We got so many things. We got important pressing things.
You would think that Steve-O's too old for Little League, but some of these kids are bigger than him. He can just go fit in like nobody even realizes that's a kid. How old do you think that kid is? Oh, he's probably fourth grade. Yeah, but look at his beard. Yeah, fourth grade.
Amazing. Fourth grade engages.
Yep, there you go. Thanks for the call, Bill.
Love you guys.
Love you too, man. Good old Bill.
I was waiting. I was waiting for the call because anytime it would snow in Nashville.
Yeah.
Inevitably, you'd have all the people that had moved there from other, like, northern states going,
yeah. I'm sure we all have that guy in the office. Steve Ryman is our guy. Thankfully, he's on vacation right now because anytime there's the cold weather or the snow,
yeah.
DJ Bossman Dan being the other one,
yeah.
Anybody who moves here from, like, you know, Idaho, and then we've got Stever who, like, grew up in Alaska.
Yeah.
So it's like, psh, he's coming in like, a tank top, and he's like, psh, psh.
You know what I was doing when I was 12? Psh. Being an ice road trucker. You think this is bad? This is nothing.
The office guy who inevitably has, like, the craziest this-is-nothing stories.
Yeah.
The one-upper of life.
This is nothing.
Yeah.
See, amazing. I don't have any of those. I'm from Mississippi.
I feel like this 81-year-old man can one-up any story. Everybody's
this
like,
is unbelievable.
Oh, man, crazy day, blah, 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 blah. And this guy could be like, I was married for 60 years. My wife hid the fact that I had a child from me for that long. I just found out I have a 61-year-old son.
It really inspires me that these guys are like, you know what? All of this, we have 61-year history of nothing together.
Yeah.
But we're going to start right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to just move forward.
Yeah.
Because that's, and Jesus juking this situation, we don't think about that a lot. But the mistakes that you've made already today, you can, like, you start right now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so often we just dwell on the past,
yep.
And we get bogged down, and yep. Then you just get in the cycle of I can't get around it.
Yeah.
And you just have to start right now, which is awesome because God is welcoming you in that moment.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now. Amen to that. And coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with Ashraf.
Ashraf!
From the Aspen Project and Project Zoe about this very thing, because look at this. This dude is 61 years old. His whole life he didn't realize he had a father. He thought his father didn't care for him, didn't want him in his life, and at 61 discovers that his dad, in fact, did not know he existed.
Ooh.
And now it's like, oh, father, son, catching up on a lifetime of memories, because it goes to show a little dude always needs a dad.
True.
Always. And that's exactly what we talk about with Aspen Project and Project Zoe. So coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, of course, we'll be talking to them, foster care adoption, ways that you can get involved in mentoring a child who desperately needs that role model in their life. So we'll be doing that coming up around the corner.
Around the bend.
Because that's how we do. Right now, brand new music from the Rocket Boys. New EP just released. Loving this.
Yeah.
Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Soon now I hope I find my voice. Not that I have much.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static radio.
Hello, hello.
What? It's time for traffic, y'all. My boy Monteo, gonna bring it to ya. In the morning on your ride to work. See, you gotta get there, you jerk, because it's not a snow day. You're going on time. Forgot my rhyme.
But you saved it at the end.
Thank you.
There's not a lot going on, only road construction to report right now. Long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast.
Mm.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
As right lane closed due to construction, Highway 47 Broadway Boulevard Southeast at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, and road construction left lanes closed Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. Hang on, I just want to refresh one time. Oh, something has popped up. I wondered about that. Traffic lights are flashing red, Highway 314 at I-25. And again, we want to remind you, if you're coming in from the mountains to the east, the roads are snowy and icy, and you need to be careful. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road, Northeast, on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. Good news, Calvary campus open because we're grown-ups.
That's right. Definitely not children trying to take a snow day.
There's none snow day.
But I'll tell you this, anything can happen on a snow day. Anything.
Yeah?
And that's pretty cool.
I'll tell you what.
What?
Slackers out there who are like, oh man, but it's kind of snowing. We're going to take a snow day, everybody. There's literally no snow on the ground out here. Rio Rancho, they got the day off.
Yeah.
East Mountains, they got the day off. We're working hard. And here's the lesson, kids. You work hard, you're rewarded. You slack off, things don't go so well for you.
It's true.
At least that's what a bunch of students found out in a law class in China.
Yes, really?
A law teacher in China found an amazing way to weed out the slackers who didn't go to her class over the course of the last semester.
Oh no, is this a tattletale?
When the teaching assistant handed out the exam on the day of a surprise exam, the law professor was not there. A teaching assistant handed it out. On the exam was one question. What do I look like?
Oh. That's awesome. What do I look like?
Students who chose the wrong photo lost massive points.
Yes.
On the test.
What do I look like?
How amazing is that?
That's what I'm talking about.
This is why, kids, it pays to stay in school and pay attention.
Yes, it does.
Yes, even simple things like what your professor looks like.
You just got to know what they look like. Here's another reason it pays to stay in school. I want to tell you a quick couple stories about maybe some criminals.
Oh,
can you play me the cops theme?
Yes, I can.
This segment is dedicated to my boy Matt Hannum, because he's a cop.
Police officer here in the Albuquerque area.
Yes. And our boy Christian.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department.
That's right.
Dude is amazing.
You guys are our bros, and so we've got some criminal stories dedicated to you.
Got some good friends there working hard.
A Canadian convict on the run was found by police hiding in an East Vancouver home. Cops armed with a warrant descended on the home and found their man curled up inside of a couch.
Okay.
A nosy police dog became curious about the sofa in the living room and alerted police. So you can't hide in the sofa, Doug.
He was actually folded up in the couch.
That's right. But there was no cushion awaiting him when it came to the law.
That's right. Just change.
We're lame. All right, next story. Police in Minnesota are investigating a man who they say may have willed his deceased 91-year-old mother into a bank to take out $850 in cash. This is Weekend at Bernie's for real.
Yeah.
Workers at the bank told police the woman's feet were dragging under her wheelchair and that she, quote, did not move. The man's neighbor saw them leave in a cab and also had suspicions, saying, I don't know if she was unconscious or not alive. The man reported his mother's death about 7 hours later.
Wow.
Which, it's just, you gotta get your priorities straight, man. If you need some money out of the bank and that's the lady, then you take her. Doug, am I right? I mean, why not?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so speaking of mothers.
Yeah.
Deceased mothers.
Oh, no.
Our question of the day.
Yeah.
Revolves around the secret that a deceased mom kept from her husband for 61 years. Well, I guess she wasn't. A deceased wife kept from her husband. Because, in reality, that dude had a kid by another lady. And that other lady had written him a letter about it.
Yeah.
And his wife, who was infertile, and that sucks, she had kept this whole child, his life, from the guy
for 61 years.
Yeah. 61 years. So now the story has come out. An 81-year-old man just found out he has a son.
Mm,
and
man.
He's had one for 61 years.
We posted the story on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio, if you'd like to chime in there on the question of the day. Now recently my boy Luke had a birthday.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about something.
Do it,
because this is kind of weird. Ever since he was 2 years old, Dylan Green of Virginia has had a passion for one thing in particular.
What's that?
Vacuum cleaners. My little one Brody.
He loves vacuum.
He's got his own dust devil. He vacuums our house like every day.
He really does. It's too bad it's not a working vacuum.
I know.
That would be awesome.
Anytime I try and vacuum normally, he's like, me do. Me. Yeah. My turn. He wants to vacuum. He loves it. Well, Dylan. Not going to read that.
What's
part.
Dylan do?
He was never into normal toys. Dylan actually is 14 years old. He has autism.
Oh, okay.
Over the weekend, he celebrated his birthday with a party that included his close friends, family, and are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
No clowns, no animals in the backyard.
Probably good.
But a vacuum salesman, everyone.
Really?
In an effort to help make her son's birthday more special, Dylan's mom sent an email to Kirby Vacuum Company, which is actually, we have a Kirby as
hey,
well.
You got a Kirby?
Yeah. Asking for an old-fashioned in-home demonstration of one of their vacuum cleaners.
Oh, man. I
granted,
bet that
it
kid...
is 2015. Yeah.
I bet that kid went wild.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a vacuum person come to your house and do a demonstration?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
We did, too. And
those
we,
sucked.
It's when you're a kid. You know, when you're a kid, you get excited about anything new.
Yeah.
Anything new.
Yeah.
It probably carries over to when you're an adult, too.
Yeah.
But I remember we had this vacuum guy come in, and I was just elated, and I wanted us to have that vacuum. I was like, look at all the diseases it gets rid of. You know, I was totally... Mm-hmm. I was also the kid that thought we were going to win the Publisher's Clearinghouse, really wanted us to get a new car all the time and a new house all the time just because I was excited about new things.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, this the company actually received the email and made Dylan's birthday dream come true, in addition to sending him a soccer ball, a hat, and a t-shirt with the Kirby logo on it.
Yeah.
Al Archie, a Kirby salesman, showed up to perform an entire vacuum demonstration at the party.
That's so
imagine hard. Being like the other kids who are like,
Al Archie.
Are we going to do cake? Are we going to...
Is there no cake?
There's no
there's
clown?
A vacuum. That's...
There's a vacuum demonstration?
And you know the kids are going, hey, this sucks. You get it?
Yeah. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Here's a question. What regular everyday thing is your kid obsessed with?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oddly enough, mine, vacuum. Also a vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
He loves, maybe it's not just the vacuum cleaner. Brody loves cleaning. Like, he wants to help me take out the trash. He wants to help me sweep. Not help.
Yeah.
By help, I mean hurt, because he's two. And so if I start trying to sweep, it's like, my turn, me. And he'll try and sweep and inevitably just kind of drag things along. Christmas this year, we actually got a new vacuum cleaner that works on tile and stuff.
Yeah.
It was the best gift we got because it was like, good.
Good.
Good. Now I can rock Brody. This kitchen and Brody can't ruin it.
Mm.
He's just helping.
He's the ruiner. He helps. He helps by ruining. It's true. You know, my kid... He loves all things like just strings.
Shut
he
up.
Loves stringy things.
Being in water.
Yeah.
Like surrounded, currently just like no, loves.
He hates water.
Hates water?
He hates water.
Why?
He loves strings of all types. He loves scratching strings and biting them. My kid is a cat named Bean.
Got you. I was thinking of your actual child that is currently within the womb.
Wait, I've got one of them?
Yes. Yeah, that's why Dawn, whoop, she didn't let it go, man.
What?
Like that's, yeah.
Wait a second.
She's got a baby in there.
This is different.
That's a child. That ain't pizza.
I've had some mean thoughts lately, and now I understand.
She's going to kill you.
No.
She is going to kill you.
No, she can't catch me. I can run really fast.
Vacuum salesman. Made the day for this kid at his birthday party. I would love to hear some crazy like birthday party stories because a vacuum demonstration at a birthday party just sounds awful to me.
Sounds pretty cool to me.
Oh, man.
I would take that. I'd take that over like a clown showing up.
Luke's party this last weekend was filled with the NFL, and I felt bad because, well, no, I didn't, because Luke cared more about the football game than he did about anything else, so we're trying to like, happy birthday
and he's
to
going, They're about to start.
They recovered the onside kick. They recovered the onside kick. And he's high-fiving and everybody's going nuts. Yeah.
And that, and it was just parties. That's his party.
That's what he wants, man. I've learned. I needed to, like, when Jack and Luke were younger, needed to buy stock in cardboard boxes because inevitably we'd buy them this amazing gift and they would be climbing in and out of the cardboard box. Like, that's all they wanted. It was like, oh man, why do we forget this every time?
Yeah, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to be the parent that remembers
this. Piece of plastic.
They're like, what did you get them for their birthday? We got them another cardboard box.
Yeah.
I drew a smiley face on this one. That box over there has an angry face.
Yeah.
This is a smiley face. We're helping our kid learn about reality.
Yeah.
Two lessons. Number one, you're going to make some people mad. You're going to make some people happy. You can't please everybody. And reality, you're just going to get a cardboard box. You're not going to get some awesome, cool hoverboard thing because they're not going to invent it. They just lied to you your whole life and you wait.
Booyah.
You get a cardboard box.
Man, coming up in 3 minutes and 12 seconds, speaking of demonstrations.
Oh, no.
Our boy Mo is coming in studio to talk a little bit about Remix Friday night. Some rap battles will ensue.
That's right.
Because that's how we do on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Heyo.
Sup, sup.
Let's take a look at traffic real quick. We want to reiterate, traffic lights are flashing red, Highway 314 at I-25. Just be careful around there. Also, we've got snowy, icy conditions in various parts of the city, especially out towards the Eastern Mountains. So be careful if you are coming in or going out that way. The right lane's closed due to construction at Highway 47, Broadway Boulevard Southeast at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue. We have road construction. The left lane is closed at Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. And finally, long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. If you see something that we don't cover, feel free to give us a call at 338-3700.
That's right.
That's fine. That's really good traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, amazing coffee shop here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Invented a new drink today.
No.
Yeah. At Solomon's Porch. Just go ask for it. And I'll tell you all about it. It's probably the best drink I've ever invented in my entire life. I'm a fan. Doug, best drink ever?
Doug's like, no, it's not the best drink ever.
He said
no,
it.
No, Doug.
It is Team Awesome Morning Party, 8:32 now. Joined in studio by the one, the only, Mo!
Mo!
What? Welcome to the show.
Well,
it's
you,
Mo
man.
On the mic. We got a friend.
Go.
He's gonna keep it tight, yo.
Bust a flow.
Can't do it right
totally
now.
You totally had this in...
in the town.
Mo, will you correct us with true skill?
Dude,
can we?
I have no skills on the microphone, although I tried it, but no.
Give a dog a bone.
I'm a little more better on the twos and threes and fours.
All right. Moses.
Yes, sir.
Our boy.
Dude, it's kind of weird being in here with you guys. I see you around campus. You guys are just, you know, happy and joyful.
Hey,
just you guys
going?
Here is like
just
all
chill.
Pro. I hear
it's
the
like, hey.
Station, and you guys are like, man. Like,
we're really good at faking being happy.
Dude, no. You guys are pro, man, here. Anyways,
thanks, buddy. Yeah. Thank you. Kicking it in studio. You got an event coming up tomorrow eve.
Oh, yeah. Calvary Albuquerque is opening their doors at the Lobos Theater Friday. Free concert for anybody who wants to come out. These guys are awesome, man. I'm just blessed to be part of these guys. A lot of these guys are MCs. A lot of them are lyricists, spoken word stuff.
Yes.
And these guys aren't trying to be rappers or whatever, hip-hop lyricists. These guys, that's what they've grown up with.
Yeah.
And so what they do, the remix, it's called the Remix of Spoken Word Encounter. And what's really interesting, originally the concept of remix was a play off of the word rima, word, spoken word, right?
Yeah.
The spoken word of God.
Yeah.
And remix, what we typically think of a song, remix, right, from its original you know, production.
Right.
So the two words, remix, it's supposed to be these guys speaking forth what God has done in their lives through the word speaking.
It's awesome.
That's pretty incredible.
And not only that, dude, last week I was just blown away, dude. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in my quiet time. Man, it just dropped on me because for me, Paul is talking about the letter of the law and we're not tied to that and the whole veil was taken away and we are walking epistles. We're walking letters.
Yes.
So whenever we speak, we're testifying what God has done. So for me, it was just like, it was just a bomb drop. I was like, man, that was just powerful, because that's exactly what these guys are doing. They're speaking, they're ministering to what God has done in their lives.
It's going down at Calvary Knob Hill in the Lobo Theater, Friday evening, 7 p.m., as you said, free. There are a ton of amazing artists on this. This is crazy. Now, you brought us a CD because, you know, we can't do this ourselves. We attempted it. You know, we were thinking we were going to do some spoken word this morning, maybe like a little rap battle or something.
But me being from Mississippi, I literally know about 37 words.
That's
all I got.
Better than...
No, because when you start... you would think it was better, but when you start just repeating yourself, people get really upset. I get hate mail. It's pretty good.
I practiced a little something, but I didn't want to do, you know...
You got
something? Well, I mean, I don't want to... Come on. You know, I don't...
He's got something. No, just show him a little something.
You don't have time?
Dude, show him a little something.
Okay.
Pitch on the ticket, maybe.
You ready?
Do it.
All right. Oh, man!
No.
I gotta hit the right music.
Did you just have a moment?
Hit the right music.
Did you just puke like in the Eminem song? He says you throw up spaghetti.
I just got nervous, man. I got nervous.
Okay. Try again.
All right, here we go.
And go.
All right. Stop. Collaborate.
I knew this was gonna happen.
And listen. Ice is back with a brand new invention.
Just not in the
metro
area. Okay.
Grabs a hold of me.
Tightly?
Flow like a harpoon, daily,
nightly.
Oh my gosh.
Will it ever stop?
Yo.
I don't know. Turn off the lights.
Okay.
And I'll glow.
You are glowing.
Yeah. To the extreme.
Yeah.
Rock a mic like a phantom.
Vandal.
Vandal. Light up the stage and wax a chump. Like a candle.
Wait a second. Pause that. No, huh? Take this down.
What?
You're going to wax a chump like a candle?
I'm going to wax a chump like a candle.
What kind of candle? What does it smell like?
It's pine and cinnamon. It's like Christmas. So, because it's like...
I feel like that's a good one.
You know, it's like a chump like a candle.
Like a chump like a candle.
Like a
hey,
chump
let
like
me
a
try
candle.
This. Let me try this.
Okay. All right. You think you can do better? You think you can do better?
Hang on.
All right.
Oh. Nah, I got nothing. I can't do it.
Oh, come on!
That's okay. I was going to try to do the rap from some old Toby Mac song, and then I guess I've just logged that away too far. I couldn't access it. That's good stuff.
Oh, there was a man on the corner with a big fat belly?
Stop it. I'm not singing Jesus Freak. We've heard it enough.
It jiggled around like...
A bowl full of jelly.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
I thought it was marmalade jelly.
No, I think that's... I'm getting it confused with Santa Claus.
Okay.
My bad. Too close to Christmas.
Sorry, it took me a while to catch what he said.
Uh-uh. I'm not doing this. Mo, tell him to be quiet.
Dude, I want
to
hear it.
How about we leave this to the pros?
Let's leave it to
Friday
the pros.
Friday night, 7 p.m. remix. Let's talk about this event. It's going to be incredible spoken word. And you brought actual rhymes. You brought real stuff for us to check out so that they don't have to listen to me butcher Ice Baby.
Dude. Oh, was that?
FYI,
what it was?
That's what that was.
Oh,
sorry, I don't know if
that
you guys.
Was an original piece.
Yeah. So you know. Well, theirs goes dun 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 dun.
Gotcha.
Dun dun dun.
It was an original piece of something. That's for sure. Let's go ahead with the real stuff.
Oh man! All right, what do we got? What do we got on the queue right
this
here?
This is actually one of our artists, Relate. He's actually an intern pastor up at Calvary Santa Fe.
Word.
But that's what he does. He's at heart. The Lord has given him skills on the mic.
All right,
he'll be representing down there at Calvary Knob Hill, along with a couple of artists as well, Alambrio and I forgot the other guy.
That's
but anyways,
okay.
Yeah.
So many amazing dudes. Of course, the details we will post.
Yeah, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio
going down tomorrow night. Calvary Knob Hill. We're going to rock this bad boy and then come back. We'll talk more about the remix. Sound good?
Awesome.
All right, here we go. Boom!
All right. Hold on, man. I got my homeboys to help me out with this one. Y'all ready for this? Yo, this is the gathering. Let's go.
I used to be in bondage, a slave to my flesh, till I finally realized somebody paid for my debt, a price I couldn't afford. Now my slate is wiped clean. At first the truth stung like Listerine, but now my life feels fresh like Crest and Colgate. I confess my sins and put to death my old ways. This ain't no game, I tell it like it is, homie. Christ showed me his truth, so I crossed over like Kobe. My time was wasting like sand through an hourglass, so I had to make a switch like Howard and Nash. But I ain't chasing a ring, nah, it's hardly my thing. I'm going ham for my king with a rock and a sling. Truth. Yo, Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Yo, who we got up to bat next, man? It's my boy East Soldier. Let's go, let's go.
Soldier to the foolish, but the truth is, I'm so foolish in my ways, lost and depraved. Mind full of wickedness is undeserved grace. Now let me take a minute to reflect on this. He was born of a virgin and wrapped in human flesh, laid in the manger. Now stop and take a breath. He made the blind man see, a woman stop bleeding and set us all free. The moment he stopped breathing, locked in them chains, my ways I was following. And like the prodigal in the mud I was wallowing, his death washed me clean so I could be let in. It's hard to comprehend that he's more than a friend. He can meet you where you're at and help you get it straight. I'ma say it once again, it's his undeserved grace. He can meet you where you're at and help you get it straight. I'ma say it once again, it's his undeserved grace.
Oh man, we got the cleanup hitters coming up now, man.
We are loose.
What's up?
The snare don't snap, the bass goes bizzle. Here comes another life, riddle. I go hand for the savior with flavor. Not my skills, but it's grace that saves ya. All to the glory of Christ, related all to his glorious light. Matter of fact, I'm not worthy to write or stand and proclaim about his glorious life. Still stick with the pen, bring glory to him, cause I'm fighting to breathe. A real man's made on his knees. Breathe, please, and know that I flow that, I throw that. Classic on the mic for Christ like a throwback. Oh, praise to Jesus. Coming back one day, I want to see him. Propitiation and the scapegoat. He made a way for you, homie, so take notes. Propitiation and the scapegoat. If you already know him, then let's go. Go.
Is this thing on? It's a loose man. Relate. Salute, yeah. Homie. Yeah. I'm not saved by my accolades, saved by grace through faith, no shackled chains. Relate, what up? It's a good look. Used to be a good crook, saved by the good book. Yeah, the word became flesh, the incarnation of our savior. Came to do more than just model behavior. He came to save ya. I'm talking God in the flesh, this is major. Yeah, I'll let it swish in your brain for a couple of seconds so you can feel what I'm saying. Yeah, what I'm saying is, we deserve the cross and hell. Jesus took the cross and now we've been reconciled through faith in the Son. When he said it is finished, it is done. We've been reconciled through faith in the Son. When he said it is finished, it is done.
Yes, our boy Lucent. Well, it's Relate and then Elon Brio. But that was the Lucent right there. Yeah, I love that dude. Yeah. He's a good dude, even though he's an Atlanta Falcons fan. But we can still be cool. We can still be cool. That's how we do.
I don't feel like I can be cool.
It is Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve-O, Mateo, hanging out with our boy Mo. And yeah. Crazy, crazy cool event going down tomorrow night. It is absolutely free.
Dude, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Man,
tomorrow night.
Somehow. Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Calvary Knob Hill in the Lobo Theater. And you can check out all the details. We posted it at our Facebook page. So mm-hmm. If you like us, you can go there. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You guys have a Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
Crossfade Street Ministry. Mm-hmm. Check that out. But Remix tomorrow night. Man, it's always fun to have people in studio who are passionate about the events that are going on. So really excited. What can people expect tomorrow night from this event?
It's going to be a mix. We're going to have three live DJs. All types of genres is going on. We're just going to mix it all up in some spoken word and some rapping and some dance electronic stuff up in the lobby and under the marquee, hopefully outside, unless it's storming like a blizzard. But
man,
it's
right?
Going to be so nice, dude. I mean, it's just cool just to be around these guys. Listen, I really don't have any talent at all. I'm just kind of...
Whatever, Mo. It's there. All good if it's storming like a blizzard, because we know you're the one that's got the skills like a wizard. So don't even start with me.
Snap!
I know about it. Literally made that up just now.
Speaking of blizzards, here's the deal.
Gosh, I'm sorry, Moses.
Here's the deal. You said ice, and I was like, whoa. Let's kick it.
You just did this a few minutes ago. You did Ice Baby already.
I just, you know.
Doug, let me double check. Ninja, did he not already do that? Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
Just love me some Vanilla Ice.
Why don't you play Snoop Dogg again? That'll be fun. Right. There it is.
So there it is, Remix, tomorrow night, free show, 7 p.m., which is great.
Yeah.
Calvary Knob Hill in the Lobo Theater. Mo, thank you so much,
dude. Yeah,
dude,
thanks for coming in.
For kicking
really
it with
appreciate
us.
Appreciate it.
And if you're a hip-hop fan, make sure you keep it locked to Static Radio for three solid hours every single Friday.
Yep.
We rock it with Surge and The Hype with our boy, C-Dub Chris Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Surge is put on by 2.0.
Yeah, local hip-hop show, locally produced, incredible stuff. And so three full hours of nonstop hip-hop every single Friday night.
Yeah.
We know you loves the hip-hops.
Yeah, so guys, go to our Facebook. All the information, we posted it. It's the Crossfade Street Ministry. We've got it linked. Go check it out.
Booyah. There you go. Dude, thank you so much for coming in. Kicking it with us. Very, very cool. All the details, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Coming up, dude, it's already going to be the 9 o'clock hour.
This morning's gone by
quickly. We've got Theology Thursday.
We do.
Beenix, Jared Petro, and you on Team Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Good morning.
Hey, y'all. Oh, I forgot to turn the camera so we could see Beenix.
Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Put on that speaker. Yeah, sorry. Yes, we do, Beenix. Look at
Welcome
you.
Welcome to it.
Look at you and your infinite knowledge over there.
Hiding behind his microphone.
So funny. Very finite knowledge I have.
Yeah.
It is Theology Thursday, your 1 hour session devoted to
theological and biblical questions.
Booyah.
Yes. And we have some pretty good ones. As a matter of fact, Mateo comes to me yesterday and says, hey, we got this great, or was it you, Steve-O?
It was.
It was you, Steve-O. And you said, we've got this great question on translations of the Bible. And so that's pretty exciting. Because I wrote a booklet several years ago on that very thing.
Yeah, we're going to be talking translations and transams.
Where did I put that
on
in the
Theology
folder?
Thursday.
I think I did.
The 1984 transam versus the 1987 transam.
And we got another question about ethnicities and the origin of different ethnicities.
Very nice. Some good biblical questions here.
Is we got this some Top Gun?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Top Gun, Jared Petro, how you doing, man?
Oh, wonderful. You know.
Oh. Can I admit something about Top Gun?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Shut up! Get out!
I've never seen Top Gun.
Are you serious?
I've never seen it.
I'll let you borrow it. I have it.
I thought you were going to be my goose.
All right. Yeah. Here we go.
I guess
for the next 10 minutes, we could probably do the entire movie over the course of the next 10 minutes. All right?
I can't
It opens on an aircraft carrier. Okay, I'm just kidding.
That's the one with Tom Cruise, right?
Yes.
He's in Top Gun.
Yes,
of course. Yeah.
Wow. Right. Beenix. It's because you've been busy reading all them books.
Books and playing music.
There you go.
I was preoccupied.
Real quick before we start, we got an email and we want to say hello and happy birthday to Lisa
Iowa.
Happy birthday, Lisa from Iowa. Thanks for listening to Theology Thursday.
Yeah, listening all the way out in Iowa. Very, very cool.
Her husband, Dan, sent the email.
Dan, listening from Iowa. God bless you guys. Have a great birthday.
Woo! There you go. We got some great email questions already lined up. If you would like to ask a question, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or you can give us a call. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. I should say phone line is open because we already got a phone lines lining up.
Okay. Well, should we go to the phone line first and then go to the email question?
We got a question about Jesus having a kid.
All right.
Yes.
Theology Thursday. Hello.
Yeah, hello. I was calling just because I was, you know, I see that there's a lot of books out there and that there's a lot of programs that talk about, like, you know, Jesus, you know, with Mary Magdalene, and they had, like, you know, doctors and people who are historians and all that talk about they literally did a whole, like, segment of how Jesus' bloodline, like, he has a bloodline out there and that, you know, it's secret and it's hidden. I guess my question is it full of crap, or is it, like, my personal belief is I don't believe it's true. But it's like, why would someone go in so in-depth and believe so passionately about something that's like they're trying to find evidence of. I was just wondering if you can go in depth with
that. Oh, you know, it is true.
Stop it.
Jared didn't take his meds today, so we can't trust anything he says.
Or he did take his meds. We'll find out.
Yeah.
No, okay. But I said Jesus, not Jesus.
Yes, there you go. Yes. Did Jesus have a kid? You know, it's funny, like, to note right away, you said, why would somebody go in debt, like, trying to find evidence and prove? My two-word answer, Bigfoot. Like, people are dumb, man. People are crazy, and they will die on that hill of stupidity trying to prove the existence of Bigfoot or Bigfoot. Aliens or Jesus baby.
Yeah. Let me answer this gentleman's legitimate question. Legitimate question.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let me say, You asked a question, is this stuff real? And the answer is yes. Not in the sense that it's historically verifiable. That is a definitive no. But they are real claims by ancient texts. And let me just tell you where most of these stories come from. They're called the Gnostic Gospels. And the Gnostic Gospels are a collection of roughly around 50 ancient texts based upon teachings of these early Christian cults. Gnosticism was an early Christian cult found in the early church, roughly from the 2nd century to the 4th century. One of the early architects of this thought was a gentleman by the name of Marcion. And Marcion was one of the first guys that compiled ancient scripture texts. But in addition to compiling these texts, a lot of the Gnostic writers in their various forms also wrote books. And one of the most popular is the Gospel of Thomas. We have the Gospel of Philip. We have the Gospel of Mary. We've got Mary Magdalene. And all these different books that were written. And supposedly, these guys pieced together other information they supposedly had on Jesus. There's a whole host of problems wrong with the Gnostic Gospels. First of all, they were late in the history. A lot of them being written as early as 300 to 400 AD. So that is, if you do your math, you know, 300 years after the actual event of Jesus Christ happened.
That's some very basic math.
Yes. And secondly, theologically, from the earliest church, from the earliest church fathers, you had people disagreeing and disputing and denying these Gnostic Gospels. So the historicity of these Gnostic Gospels are next to none. Mm. But, you know, to your question, where do they get these stories from? Well, they get them from other related, what we'd call pseudo or fake gospel stories, largely found through the Gnostic works.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, with our our culture, you know, you think that, you know, with the movies that come out, you know, you think of what is it, the Da Vinci Code, that. A lot of this is
baby
from
mama,
that, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you think that, okay, Jesus had a baby, he, you know, had a relation with Mary and all this other, you know, stuff. So,
right, right.
I can't talk.
Obviously, yeah.
That's okay.
And Jarrett, you're right, because what the Gnostic taught is Gnostic is Greek gnosko, which means knowledge. And so the Gnostics taught that there was a secret knowledge. There was something that other Christians or other people didn't know, and that it was their responsibility as spiritual beings to determine and find this. So a lot of the Gospels that you find, or a lot of the Gnostic works, are, you know, basically these secret type of bits of information. And then they made Jesus basically into their image. You know, they wanted to reconstruct a Christ that was more Gnostic than he was real. And it wasn't until the Nag Hammadi Library was discovered by two farmers in 1945 that we really got a good sense of what the Gnostic Gospels were about. we have early church fathers who quote from them extensively to rebuttal in what they were saying. But we didn't have the actual texts or a lot of the texts until that Nag Hammadi library was discovered in 1945 in an area close by Egypt. But again, great question. And as Jarrett said, these Gnostic Gospels have made their way into popular society, and a lot of people stake a lot of information on them, and to their detriment, because they're not historically verifiable.
There you go. Does that help?
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. That's cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right, 505-338-3700, the phone number. Now, you were, like, Googling over there.
Yeah, I was
all the stories, and it was just, hey, man, come on.
A lot of it
So he wasn't married with children.
No, he was not.
Okay. I don't think so.
See, you know, the reality is, and this could even, you know, go into our next series of questions about translations and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But the earliest documents that we have are found in the New Testament.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the earliest church fathers were already quoting from the four Gospels, from the works of Paul, from the vast majority. Now, not the totality of the New Testament we have, but at least 23 to 24 of those books that we have in the New Testament were being quoted from the early second century, and even into the first century. So these are the earliest, most ancient text we have, what is what we call the New Testament. So anything beyond that, be it Gnostic Gospels or these other other letters, are late, and so there isn't as much, you know, historical we can't verify them as well as the early New Testament documents.
All right, there you go.
Okay, and speaking of that, like you said, it's an excellent bridge into the next question.
Yeah.
Well, this was sent yesterday, but we'll take it for Theology Thursday. The question is, this person has heard some people say there is no perfect Bible due to the fact that there are multiple Bible versions and that they say things that are contrary to one another. One example that our writer sees come up a lot is Isaiah 14:12 in the NIV and the KJV. So I'm going to quote both of them. Mm-hmm. So Isaiah 14:12 KJV. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And then in the NIV, the same verse, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. And that's our email.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me approach translations generally. We've got to step back, look at the big picture, and then we could look at specific translations if needed. When you're dealing with translations, there's two overarching textual evidence you have to go off. Any modern translation is going to be based upon two schools of thought, and then more modern, they combine these. The first school are the Alexandrian texts. The Alexandrian texts are the oldest manuscripts available. Most scholars date them from like the 2nd to 3rd century. Why do we call them Alexandrian? Because the location. They were found near Alexandria, Egypt. And the texts that are part of the Alexandrian texts are the Codex Vaticanus, and why we call it the Vaticanus is because it resides at the Vatican, and the Codex Sinaiticus. And though there are a minority of these texts, meaning we don't have as many of them, they are undisputedly considered the oldest. So the Alexandrian text. Then there's the Byzantine text. And the Byzantine texts are named because the general location of their discovery, Byzantium, or which we call Constantinople today. And there are a lot more of these Byzantine texts, such as the Codex Alexandrius, the so on and so forth. The point being is that when people are making modern translations, they're usually using either the Codex Alexandrius texts or the Codex Byzantium texts. And there are some differences in these ancient texts. So you will have variations within translations based upon the ancient texts they're using. So when you get to more of the modern age, let's say Erasmus, Erasmus was a reformer living at the time of Martin Luther. He took texts from the Byzantine school, and he translated what was called the Textus Receptus, which was made into the King James Version Bible. Ooh, yeah. So the Textus Receptus made its way via Tyndale and other translators into the modern translations. Luther himself used the Textus Receptus for his German translation. So when you get to all these English translations, they were primarily using the Byzantine texts as displayed by Erasmus. It wasn't really until more of a modern era, Nestle, Olland, Lightfoot, and others that began to go back to the earlier texts of the Alexandrian to formulate their modern translation. So you will get some variations in translation based upon the ancient texts. Now,
yeah.
Let me say one other thing, then I'll turn it over, because I said we had to give big picture. So the texts they use make a difference. Mm-hmm. And then the philosophy they use as they approach the texts also matters. And what I mean by that is, generally speaking, the translational philosophy comes down to two. There's a dynamic equivalence, which is more or less a thought for thought, and then there's a formal equivalence, a word-for-word translation. So a thought-for-thought translation may be something like Eugene Peterson's The Message.
Yeah,
which is more of what we'd call a paraphrase, a thought for thought. He's trying to capture the general idea. And then the formal equivalence would be a word for word. So a New King James Version, an ESV. These are trying to stay true to the original words and original meaning of the text. So not only do you have different ancient texts being used in the translations, you have different philosophies of how they approach the text.
Boom. Plus, you have to take into account font, because the Romans were ruling font during the time of Paul, and New Times Roman.
New Times Roman.
You want to stay away from that, because the Romans, I mean, the Romans, man.
Yeah.
Duh.
You know,
nothing to do with translations.
You know, to your point, Brian,
don't punch me.
When you think about the translations of the Bible, and you just said it, you know, when you look at something like the NIV, it's thought by thought, whereas like the New King James or the King James, the translation came to us by word by word, or, you know, the New American Standard or the ESV, it's based on that as well. So in that translation, to the best of their ability, you know, they're taking the Greek language, of course, more so in the New Testament, the Hebrew and a little bit of the Aramaic in the Old Testament, and they're combining that, and that's what you have, is that you can have a different sort of, you know, translation, not a translation, I should say, a different verbiage. And, you know, we even see today with like a Living Bible that is more of a paraphrase. And so I suggest that, and this is my own personal opinion, going to a word by word is far better of an understanding in the scriptures. But again, I also have an NIV, I also have an ESV that takes a thought progression versus, you know, word by word. But if you're studying the word, you can do, you know, different studies on this, but that's the point you need to do, is you need to look at word by word and also look at the thought progression or a thought by thought translation, and then take that and see the totality of that. Of course, the beauty of it is, if you're able to learn Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, then you can go to the original language. So
here's my question, because we're hearing, you know, all right, King James Version, which is obviously the only true version of God's word.
No.
I don't know, Beanix. I got a list over
here.
He's
got a list over here from an authoritarian, if you will.
From a website that I found on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. There really is a lot of controversy over this issue. Yeah,
this
there
is
really
movement.
Is. But, Steve, finish your question.
My question is this, because you do have those websites. I mean, Teo, in 2 minutes, found Google how this person knows that the King James Version is the only true Bible and all these things. But on the flip side of that, are there, in turn, translations that we should steer away from?
Yes.
That are not
the New World Translation by the Jehovah's Witness. There are translations out there.
One.
Stop it right now!
That purposely manipulate the text.
Wow.
But Jarrett is right. Jarrett, and I agree with him. The best translation for biblical study is a word for word or formal equivalent translation. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to do some homework to find out which translations are a word for word, trying to get to the core of what the author was saying. Mm. Dynamic equivalents or a thought for thought, they're helpful in, you know, getting the big idea of the text, but they're not always helpful in giving you the actual words or meaning of words that were used. I recommend, as Jarrett did, that you have a variety of translations when you study. Yeah. Use the basis of your study, a formal equivalent translation, a word-for-word translation, but then use other translations to give you the bigger thoughts and help you kind of put your brain around what is being communicated.
So what about like the NTV? Because that's my favorite version. That's the new television version where you just sit down and watch a lot of evangelists on TV to give you your thoughts.
I would steer clear of some of those.
Okay, cool.
You really have to be a good student when it comes to some of this.
Okay. I would say too, like when you look at the Amplified Version, or you know, like I said,
well, even the Message, it's a paraphrase.
Yeah, the Message, it's
not
a paraphrase. Living, you know, the living standard or whatever, you know, it's good. It gives you the overall idea of the message, especially in the Old Testament when you're reading stories. It's a narrative, and those are not bad Bibles, if I could say that. Those are not bad translations. It's dumbed down in a sense to be readable as if you're reading the newspaper, but if you really want to study, you do want to go to a word by word, and then also have the thought progression of a thought by thought, you know, like an NIV or such.
Yeah.
So
let me just throw out some word-for-word translations to help our listeners get a grasp on this. So the Revised Standard Version, which became the New Revised Standard Version, is a word-for-word translation. You have the New American Standard, which Jarrett mentioned, that is a word-for-word translation. You have the New King James Version, which is a word for word. You have the ESV, which is a word for word. Now, things that are thought for thought, more of a general big picture, would be like the Living Bible. The Message would be a thought for thought. Phillips translation utilizes word for word, but there's also a thought for thought in that. So some of these were translated for reading purposes, just to help the reader get through it in a concise manner. Others are made for study purposes. So I think it's important that you do some homework. What we're trying to do today is I wrote a booklet called Choosing the Right Bible for You several years back for Calvary Chapel, and a lot of this information is disseminated or given to you in a simple format. Mateo is going to try to figure out how
I'm gonna try
to get
that PDF
this
to you.
PDF online, either on Facebook and or on the website, so you can have this for free. Or you could always call the Word for Today or Calvary Publishing and get the Bible as well. I mean, the little booklet as well. But it's called Choosing the Right Bible for You. It's a real simple. It gives charts. It gives some graphs. It really helps someone who's trying to figure out what Bible to use. Mm-hmm. It gives some practical insight.
I'm going to try to get it attached to the podcast.
There you go.
But I want to say, because you were talking about the Vaticanus or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so I just want to bring to light, because I grew up in the South and was often told that the King James Version was the correct translation of the Bible.
Right.
And so you saying those things, I want to read to you just real quick a website.
Yeah.
This guy, he's from Tennessee. He's a pastor.
What? Tennessee?
These are his reasons for why he believes, part of his reason. He says, because of the manuscript evidence, this is why King James Bible is the only real one. He says the new quote-unquote Bibles are supported by two very corrupt 4th century manuscripts known as the Vaticanus and the
Sinaiticus, right?
Yes. These manuscripts are filled with many text alterations to meet the demands of Roman Catholic tradition. They also include the Apocrypha, which the Lord Jesus Christ excluded from the Old Testament in Luke 24:44. All new versions contain readings from these corrupt manuscripts, and all new versions use their tiny 5% evidence to attack the 95% majority text of the King James Bible.
Mm.
He says the Textus Receptus, received text from which the King James Bible can be traced clearly back to Antioch, Syria, where the disciples were first called Christians and where Paul and Barnabas taught the word of God for a whole year. The other Bibles do not come from Antioch. They come from Alexandria, Egypt, and from Rome.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need an Egyptian version, for Egypt is a type of the world in the Bible. God called his people out of Egypt. So I just want to kind of say...
Let me say something like that really does require time and attention. Let me just point out some problems with what he said. First of all, the King James Version was not based on the majority text.
Mm.
The majority text is a more modern, it pulls from a variety of sources, those that agree, and that uses it as a base. The King James Version, as I already pointed out, was based upon the Textus Receptus, which is what Erasmus did. Erasmus had at his disposal about 9 different translations, and they weren't the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why many scholars would say that the Textus Receptus, though very helpful and very good and used for the Protestants, was a helpful translation. It is not the oldest. We have since found older manuscripts. So there's some historical holes in his arguments, though there are some great points he does bring out. There, you know, there is a beauty to the Textus Receptus.
Mm-hmm.
There is a continuity to the Textus Receptus, meaning, you know, it's nice when we're using the same translation. It helps us understand it. But there's a huge scholarly debate on some of the points that he's talking about.
Yeah.
And I would say generally, I would only agree with portions of what he says, but I would disagree with a lot of what he says.
I'm going to make you a t-shirt that says, Textus yourself before you Rextus yourself.
Stop it. That's incredible.
I'm just saying.
I would have that shirt.
I would wear that shirt.
I'll wear it.
Because it's all about the Textus Receptus.
You guys
I've learned something here today.
The NASB is fine, right? New American Standard? Because it's one of the most,
word for word, formal equivalent. It definitely, now here's the thing about the NASB, it's a great study Bible, but it doesn't read particularly well.
Right.
So
when
you're sitting down to try to read it, it's not always flowing, it's not using beautiful language, it's using just primarily the word for word translation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whereas some of the more modern translations, they really put it in, it's like, hey, that's a cool way to say that.
Yeah.
So
that's
why I recommend a variety of translations.
All right. There you go. All right, the phone lines are open, 505-338-3700, the phone number. We had somebody on line one, but they rectused themselves.
They rectused it. They wanted to ask, explaining some agnosticism and why Paul would address it. Did he mean Gnosticism?
Yeah, agnosticism is a different term than Gnosticism.
Yeah.
So agnostic means not sure if they believe there's a God. The A meaning, you know, not sure or no. Gnostic meaning no knowledge of God. Whereas Gnostic, the early Gnostic religious group, did believe in a God or an assembly of gods, and they were essentially an early Christian cult is how we would define it today.
All right, there you go. You can send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. We have one more, right?
We got it. Did you say why Paul would address Gnosticism?
Yeah.
Paul, when the early Christian texts that we have, Paul is one of the most pronounced who does what we think may have been an early form of Gnosticism. And for you to really understand what Paul was dealing with, I would encourage you to read the book of Colossians. Because in Colossians, Paul Though he doesn't name them as Gnostics, a lot of the terminology that Paul is using in his book of Colossians does lead us to believe that he was addressing people, maybe an early form of Gnosticism in his day, because he talks about individuals who were, you know, using these mysterious ideas, and Paul addressed it head on. And then in chapter 2, he talks about no philosophy but Christ, which that may not be formal Gnosticism. Mm-hmm. That could also be Neoplatonic thought. So Paul addresses that in Colossians. So I turn your attention to that.
Yeah. There you go. And I know we're talking about like Gnosticism and all this old stuff, but the reason that that's interesting for today is because all of these new gospels that are coming out are Gnostic texts that people, the church has known about for thousands of years.
And not only that, Gnosticism has made a huge sway back within the church. There are a whole group of scholars that are promoting and propagating the Gnostic texts to be included, because essentially they're modern Gnostics in their own sense. Not that they're adhering to ancient Gnostic doctrine, but they're basically trying to promote the Gnostic text as being a historically verifiable, and that Christians should turn to them just as easily as we do the New Testament.
Yeah, you know, when I think of 1 John, when he deals with Gnosticism, the biggest thing is that how he starts off by saying, you know, speaking of Christ in his flesh, which is kind of reversed today, you know, speaking about the deity of Christ. Back in those days, they were affirming, you know, that Christ came in the flesh. And so even John says, you know, that which we've seen, we've touched, we've handled concerning the word of life, he's speaking of Christ, and he was dealing with Gnosticism at the time. And, you know, Gnosticism is kind of a simple definition is, in many minds of the Gnostics, they believe that your spirit was separated from your physical world, so you could live outwardly however you like, and it wouldn't affect your spirit. And so, and then there was the other camp of, you know, the extreme of that. And so, that way, you know, John deals with this. He obviously wants his listeners to know that Christ was a real person in the flesh. He was God himself, and dealing with that. And we see that today, you know, but the debate ends up being, Jesus wasn't God. He was a good man. We see this in Islamic belief. We see this, you know, around us. And so 1 John is a great read if you haven't read that, dealing with Gnosticism and defending that.
Good stuff. Let me go back just quickly to the individual who had a question about translations. If you're really interested in delving into this topic of the historicity of the Bible, the canon of Scripture, let me just throw out three resources for you, and Mateo will put them online as well. But it's The Canon of Scripture by F.F. Bruce. He goes through the history of you know, the Bible. And then a second resource is From God to Us by Norman Geisler. It's a great overview, and he addresses some of the translational issues. But probably my favorite of all those is Journey from Text to Translations by Paul Wenger. It really is a more in-depth, but it has great charts, great pictures, and he talks about translations and all of that. So Journey from Text to Translations by Dr. Paul Wenger, that's the one I would recommend there.
There you go. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Let's go out to line one. Hello.
Yeah, I had a question regarding the Bible.
Okay.
Well, like, there was 2 points that I had, and then kind of it leads to the question. The point was, in Revelations, it says that whoever adds or takes away from the Bible, you know, so will the, how does it say it? So will the plagues be added onto you. There's another point in the Bible where it says that you have, where it says that Jesus will never forsake you or anything like that, but then when Jesus is on the cross, he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? I guess the points I wanted to make was if those two verses, which I get as a father, you know, they say for the way the Christian term is, they say, well, a father couldn't look at his son being hurt. He didn't forsake him. He just... But to me, it's like if they were using that word specifically, towards something yeah. that he would never do and then does. And then with as many people that do add on to the Bible and as many people that do take away from it, I have, like, you know, those individuals, I don't know what he means as far as with the plagues. Like, does he mean that as a people or as an individual that does it? And so the question is just, with those two key points, if those are considered contradictory verses, mm-hmm. would that mean then that the whole Bible itself is contradictory, or you can't take every other word? Because if those two verses are, like, I guess if those are contradictory, wouldn't what to say the rest of the Bible isn't contradictory?
You know, actually, and I'll just read it. It's Revelation 22, verse 17 and 18, and it says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come." And of course, and it says, "He who hears these words, you know, let him come to me." But I testify that every man that hears these words of the prophecy of this book, and I'm taking this back in context, and we'll get to the Bible part of it in a second, the other 65 books, but John is referring to the book of Revelation, okay? And then he says, if any man takes away from this or adds to this, so you have the positive and negative as well, God will also add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, speaking of Revelation. And if any man takes away the words of the God of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and of the holy city. And he continues on, there's a few other things, and his name will be taken, of course, it won't be written in the book of life. And then he testifies of these things. So first of all, that passage in Revelation 22, around 17 and 18, the last few verses, is a direct reference to the importance of God's final revelation of his Son. That revelation, as we read in the book of Revelation, is the unveiling of the person of Jesus Christ. And so, if a person not only takes away or adds to those words, or doesn't, in many ways, doesn't believe or takes away, like minimizes, like, oh, this can't be true, you know, and you can go on from there. But even literally adding unto it with even further revelation, saying, oh, I have a greater revelation, which we find in different cults. There's another revelation, and I can mention Islam is one. There's another revelation, Mormonism. There's another revelation. God says that he will add the plagues. When you read in Revelation early on in the chapters, from around chapter 6 through 19, in the chapters of 6, chapter 6 through 19, you find the plagues that are cataclysmic. They affect human, you know, every human on earth at that time. God says very clearly that judgment of those particular plagues will come upon that person. So obviously you want to stay away from that. So not taking away or nor adding to it. And sometimes it's not even necessarily taking away from it, but you can find sometimes people will add to it and embellish and add more to it. That's why when it comes to the interpretation or the hermeneutic of Scripture, it's so vital, it's so important that you stick to the consistency of the Word. And so within that context, to answer the first part of that question, and then I'll let Brian answer the rest of it, how it relates to the rest of Scripture and how does that apply, we need to be very, very sensitive, very careful, of course, related to the final revelation of Christ, because God is very clear of how things are going to happen. And if there is disbelief, if there is an addition to that, the plagues will be added to a point where that person would receive that. So not only that, the overarching idea too, and that is God takes his word very serious. Is the very words of God, and it's his divine words are never returned void. They accomplish a purpose, and God is serious. That's what he's meaning there. God is serious, and that for us as we read the word, if there are things we do not know and don't have a full revelation on something, I remember Pastor Chuck Smith, when I was working at Calvary Costa Mesa with him, oftentimes when he would teach, he would say, when he came across a passage, he would say that, I don't know what this means. And I appreciated that, the honesty of saying, look, we don't understand the fullness of this, and I'm okay as a pastor to say, look, I'm not going to read into this. I'm not going to take away from this. I'm just going to let it be what it is. And I think that's wise. I think there's a lot yet to come as we read in the book of Revelation that we need to be very careful of and to be mindful of. So, Brian, what about the second part?
Well, I agree with you on the first, that when you look at the context of Revelation 22 there in verse 18, when John refers to the book, which in Greek is biblion, it just is another reference for the scroll that was used, it's referring specifically to the book of Revelation. And then as John continues in that thought process, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. So, Jarrett, you addressed, you know, that the context is specifically to Revelation. So that's the principle. That's the biblical principle found in that. But the practice, I think, of this can be applied to the entirety of the Bible, that we do need to guard the sacred text. We need to guard the New Testament, the Old Testament, as the words of God. And we should never tamper with them, change them, or alter them. What's interesting is, you know, in some scholarly circles, they will tamper with the Bible a lot more than, let's say, they'll tamper with Shakespeare. They want to make sure that Shakespeare's words are kept in its purest form and don't tamper with them because we want to understand the original thought process of Shakespeare.
Heck yeah.
How much more should we with these ancient religious texts? We shouldn't be tampering with the author's original intentions. We shouldn't be trying to manipulate the wording to fit our modern understanding or the context. We should be taking the author's original words and making sure that we apply the same scholarly aptitude we would to any other literature to that. Why? Because it's, first of all, the right thing to do, literature as well as the historical text. But secondly, it's a religious text, and therefore we should be treating it as, what is this author's original intention? So though it applies specifically to the book of Revelation, as Jarrett pointed out, principally and practically, we could apply that to the totality of Scripture. Therefore, we should be approaching Scripture with the scholarly integrity as well as the sacredness of what we're trying to accomplish through understanding the original author's intentions.
Right on. Does that help you out?
Yeah, and then the second part about the the other scripture. If you can answer the second part of it.
Oh, about Jesus using the word forsaken, because God will never leave you nor forsake
it's
you.
Just because the reason why that's so confusion to me is the reason why it's just such a
Just quickly tell me the scripture verse again that
the scripture verse was something about where he says, you know, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Right.
And then there's another part in the Bible where, you know, when Jesus is on the cross, he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? My thing is, they use that word twice and in specific ways in the verses. However, like, whatever translation you read, both are the same. So I guess the really hard part for me is if those two are, if the verses contradict each other, I guess what's to stop any translation you read from just contradicting the entire text?
Those verses don't contradict each other, first of all.
Well, let me say, where the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, originates in the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's right.
It's referred back to in Hebrews as a reminder that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, you got to think in context to his people and his believers, his disciples, that he will never leave them nor forsake them. When you look at the cross and when Jesus committed his spirit to the Father, you have to look at, you know, Isaiah chapter 53 and read that. Jesus is described, it's actually describes in there that it pleased the Father to bruise him, and it was submitted unto his will. It wasn't as if the Father left him, or, you know, when he says, why have you forsaken me, in the idea that you forsook me, but rather that God it pleased the Father. It was in his plan. And it wasn't as if God, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were separated at that moment, because, the you know, you think about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're one. But rather, in that moment, as Christ absorbed all the sin of the world, as I would believe, that is fulfilling Scripture, and that is fulfilling the will of the Father. So, you know, again, Jesus, as he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, in context to his disciples, in the Old Testament, referred to back in Hebrews again, and then also in Isaiah 53, when you read about the actual description of the cross. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
And I was going to say something, Jarrett, that you pointed out already, that it's important for us to understand. You have to look at the context of the specific book and the specific passage that you're looking at. And you cannot take one passage and then broad brush it to, you know, correlate or have a meaning to another passage necessarily. So, as Jarrett pointed out, this idea of not leaving nor forsaking you is found actually in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 31:8. It says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave or forsake you. Do not fear or dismay. So the immediate context of that, of Jesus using or alluding to this, is referred to specifically towards his disciples, towards his followers. So Jesus is using this particular scripture passage to relate to his followers, to his people, to his disciples. Whereas the point on the cross, the context of the point on the cross, is referring back to another Old Testament scripture verse, which Jarrett pointed out. And that is the relationship between the Father and the Son. So look at this again. The context of one is Jesus to his disciples. It's to his followers. The context of the other, using a different Old Testament reference, is between the Son, Jesus Christ, and his Father in heaven. Two different contexts, two different applications. You're doing is you're trying to combine these two contexts into one and trying to make a case that they mean the same thing. But going back to basic biblical interpretation, we are not allowed to do that. That's why we have to do some homework and understanding the context and the Old Testament references there. But hopefully that helped you.
Yeah.
And God bless you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. There you go. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Yeah, another reminder why we need to be like the Bereans, man, studying, digging in.
Absolutely.
Not just Googling. Because we can, if we want to tickle our ears or bend our ways to something that we enjoy, just Google it.
Yeah. The bottom,
you can always find something.
But in sincerity, I think, and I believe our caller was sincere.
Oh, very much so.
Absolutely.
It was a great question. Great question.
It is a very fascinating thing that to actually contemplate, and that's the beauty of the gospel. It should blow our minds that when Christ was on the cross and the Father looked upon him and it pleased him, it pleased the Father to grieve his own Son. We're told by Paul later on that he, God, the Father, made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of Christ in him, in 2 Corinthians 5:21. So the beauty of that is that, wow, the Lord, our God, our Father, was willing to allow his Son, if you will. We use the word forsaken, but the word is actually grieve. In that reference to Isaiah 53, that it grieved, you know, it pleased the Father. But if you read a little further, it was to produce the fruit in Isaiah 53 to bring more souls to the kingdom of God and bring people into his kingdom. I'll tell you as a listener, God will never leave you nor forsake you, because our salvation is assured in him. Why? Because it's his salvation. He died for us. His blood was spilled out to save your soul. And if you don't know that, you can receive Christ by just coming to him and saying, Lord, I believe you were forsaken, or you were put on that cross and you received tremendous grief, of course. You absorbed my sin, took my place, and I want to receive that. What love. I mean, you see the love of God poured out, and the blood of Christ covers us. And because of that act Of course, the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always with us. Mm. He is for us. He strengthens us. We have that assurance.
Yeah. And let me just go back to the point Jarrett and I were making in the context, why we always beat this, you know, point across, is it's very important to look at the context of the scripture. And that requires some basic Bible study knowledge. And I would recommend that you pick up How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It by Pastor Skip Heitzig.
Yeah.
There's a Gordon Fee one that's out there that, you know, how to read the Bible. And get some of those basic Bible study tools that will help you. Living by the Book is another great book that will give some basic biblical overview to help someone become a better Bible student. So check those out. Go to your local Christian bookstore and see if those will help you.
Phone lines are jammed up. So let's go to line one. It is Theology Thursday. We've got about 5 minutes left, so we're going to go as quickly as possible. Static.
Hey, guys, this is Rhett. I just had a quick comment on that last question for you.
Go ahead.
All right, so he brought up a really good point that it's often talked about how, you know, well, the Bible says that you cannot add or subtract anything from the Bible. And you guys made a great statement that, no, that's actually in reference, if you're going to do it literally, that's actually in reference to the book of Revelation.
Correct.
And we see this happening in a lot of different ways. For instance, a lot of people will say, it's a sin to smoke, for instance, because, you know, well, they say that, you should, be careful about your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and not to defile it. But they forget that, you know, Christ actually told us what defiles a man is not what goes into his body or what goes into his mouth, but what comes out from his mouth, what comes out from his heart. So I think that, and maybe this is a good jumping off point for next Thursday, but
yeah,
maybe we need to be really, really cautious about where we're going with these extra biblical teachings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of that very fact that we need to protect the actual text of the Bible and teach in context.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
And you know, that's a great point. I appreciate that. You know, I think to our listeners, Mark chapter 7, Jesus washing his hands, disciples are not washing his hands, his disciples weren't washing his hands, and then they were confronted. Of course, Jesus said, it's not what's dirty on the outside of the cup or my hands and this and that, but what's in the heart. And he lists what's in the heart. And it's a great reminder, again, like you said, it's not what goes into the body that is assimilated and consumed in that way. Of course, we use wisdom more so for a witness unto the Lord, and as we grow in our love for Christ, we want to be honorable to him. We want to be God. One of his characteristics is he's a holy God, obviously. And so with that, you know, God begins to take certain things from us in a beautiful way by his grace. But whatever's on the outside doesn't defile us. Because why? Because we have been purified by the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of the Lamb has purified us in our spirit. And of course, it works from the inside out. And so what a great reminder, just as you said, the Lord is faithful. Remember context, stay within location, stay within context as you read the scriptures.
Yeah, getting those Bible study tools that will help you understand scripture is essential.
We got some amazing emails that we didn't have a chance to get to. The phone line's still going. I promise we do this week in and week out. Yeah, we will keep them for next week's show. If you missed any part of Theology Thursday, you can download the podcast at mystaticradio.com/Theology Thursday. There we will also provide you with the list of the resources referenced here today, which of course you can check out at our bookstore right here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus, Parchments. You can also find more information at Parchments.com.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I can to get that PDF loaded onto our podcast that Benix wrote.
Amazing. Thanks to everybody who did chime in and was a part of the broadcast today. Tomorrow, Friday.
Woo! Sam coming in?
Yeah. We got a lot going on. For tomorrow's show, it is the final show of the week for Team Awesome Morning Party. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.